This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
A partial settlement in the class action lawsuit against Enron, filed by former employees who lost big when the company tanked in 2001. The company will turn over proceeds from various insurance policies valued at about $85 million to a fund set up to recoup workers whose pensions were heavily invested in Enron stock. Of the settlement, $68 million will go to the workers and the lawyers get the rest. Several other class action claims against the company and its executives are still pending.
Like the pickets, Boston police unionists might set up around the Democratic National Convention, New York union members may be picketing outside the Republican National Convention this summer. RNC leaders tapped CNN to be the pool network supplying audio and video feeds to all other news organizations. International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, electricians, usually set up inside Madison Square Garden, but CNN wants to use non-union labor to install the hundreds of miles of cables needed to wire this international event. For almost 20 years, CNN used unionized workers in Washington, D.C. and New York City, represented by the National Association of Broadcast Employees and Technicians, or NABIT. But recently, CNN stopped using contractors and hired its own staff with lower wages and benefits. Ed McEwen is the president of NABIT Local 11, representing 1,600 broadcast engineers.
At CNN, they eliminated the union, and that's really a violation of these people's rights.
NABIT is asking politicians not to appear on CNN until the dispute is resolved.
For several years, major clothing companies have adopted codes of conduct for the textile factories that make their apparel, but the codes have never been effectively enforced, much less examined for compliance. But on Wednesday, the Gap Incorporated released a report ranking its contractors' compliance with its own labor code and found that, quote, few factories, if any, are in full compliance all the time. The most egregious violations included physical abuse and squalid working conditions, especially at Gap-contracted sweatshops in China and India. Yet of the more than 3,000 contractors the clothier uses to make its line, the Gap cut ties to only 136 last year for labor rights reasons.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Although there's been a slight increase in jobs this year, the U.S. economy may be suffering from a wage recession. According to new U.S. Department of Commerce figures, corporate profits have swelled totally out of proportion to workers' wages. U.S. corporate profits grew by 87% from 2001 to the end of 2003. Wages and salaries increased by only 4.5%, and after inflation is taken into account, that number shrinks to 1.1%.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find AMIBA online at amiba.net.
As Ray Charles sang, them that's got is them that gets. And the getting was very, very good for those at the top in 2003. Forbes magazine's annual survey of wealth reports that there are now 587 lucky souls living in Billionaireville, up 10% over the previous count. These wealthiest of the wealthy added $500 billion to their personal stash of lucre last year. Among this group of swells are the Waltons, the reigning heirs of Walmart founder Sam Walton. Interestingly, the company that profits by paying poverty wages to its employees returns a king's ransom to those at the top. Forbes reports that of the 10 richest people on the planet, 5 are Waltons, each one sitting atop $20 billion in Walmart booty. Then there are the CEOs who lavish corporate cash on themselves. These dandies now average nearly $11 million in annual pay, even as they downsize their workforce, cut health care and pensions for the people who do the work, and ship our country's best-paying jobs off to foreign shores. Numero uno in corporate pay last year was Sandy Wheel, head of Citigroup. He only worked 9 months of the year before retiring in October, but he pocketed $30 million in salary. Wow, that's $111,000 a day. And that doesn't count the $14.7 million he took in other compensation, or some $285 million worth of stock he had been awarded. Well, say apologists for this system of royal pay, such is the way the free market works. Horse feathers. The supply of potential CEOs is huge, and the number of slots is very small. So if the free market really was at work, CEOs would be making an honest wage. But the system isn't honest. The pay of top bosses is set by board members handpicked by you-know-who, the top bosses. This is Jim Hightower saying, money flows uphill not because of merit, but because the system is rigged by those at the top.
Toyota owners, roll into summer with great tire service offers at your participating Toyota dealer. And keep rolling all year long with free gas from Toyota. That's right, Toyota is giving away free gas for a year to 12 lucky winners. Just come into your participating Toyota dealer, where you get the very best competitively priced service performed by Toyota trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and enter the sweepstakes.
No purchase necessary. Ends May 31st, 2004. Void where prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 or older with valid driver's license only. Void in Hawaii. Official rules at Toyota.com/owners.
It's difficult enough to work your way through this jungle called life every day without having to carry an 800-pound gorilla of high-interest student loans around with you. So just do what over 300,000 people have already done and call College Loan Corporation at 1-800-2-COLLEGE. College Loan Corporation will gladly give you the advice you need while helping you look into interest rates as low as 2.63%, the lowest federal rates in 40 years. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Well, is the world going to end as we know it, or is it going to transform? Are changes coming? Tom Hartman with you, 7 minutes after the hour, broadcasting live coast to coast, border to border. I want to talk about today the rapture of all things. Now, you say, what is this? The rapture, are we talking about? You know, this is a religious thing, it's a small subcomponent of Christianity overall. What's this doing on a political show? And I want to set this up, and then we've got a guest on, Todd Strandberg, who runs a website called Rapture Ready, that George Monbiot referred to in an article in The Guardian a week or two ago. And Todd will be able to bring us up to date on the thinking of the evangelical Christian community with regard to the rapture. At the moment, there are 90 million people in the United States who identify themselves not just as Christians but as evangelical Christians. 59% claim, according to a Time magazine poll, that the rapture, the end of days, the end of time, is going to happen in their lifetime. Iraq, ancient Babylon, figures centrally in the fundamentalist visions of things, as does the rapture, the imminent mass conversion of Jews, and war in the Middle East. We have folks like Lieutenant General William Boykin, who's an advocate of this point of view, who we just found yesterday briefed top Pentagon civilian officials last summer on how to interrogate Iraqi prisoners. Those recommendations amounted to a senior-level go-ahead for sexual and physical abuse of prisoners, possibly to soften up detainees before interrogation, apparently because Mr. Boykin thinks that, as he said, their God is smaller than his God, their God is an idol. But what we have here, I remember, I was in Israel on April 11, 1982, and an American who had emigrated to Israel was a true believer in this stuff. Now, I first was exposed to this in the late 60s, early 70s. I was a member of, not a member, but I regularly attended the North Lansing Church of God, which is an evangelical, the charismatic church. This was a common topic, the rapture. I read in 1974 Hal Lindsey's The Late Great Planet Earth and several other books on the topic. Anyhow, I was in 1982, I was in Israel. I have quite a few friends in Israel. Several of them are Orthodox, ultra-Orthodox Hasidic Jews who live in Mia Shearim, which is the Orthodox area. You walk, if you drive through there on a Saturday, they will throw stones at your car. And one of my friends there has a bumper sticker on his car in Hebrew that says, Mashiach now, Messiah now, return the Messiah now. And this is a big thing among fundamentalist Jews and fundamentalist Christians. And anyhow, I was there on April 11, 1982, when Alan Goodman, an American who had renounced his U.S. citizenship, or maybe he had dual citizenship, become an Israeli citizen, went up on the Temple Mount, which is the backside of the Wailing Wall. It's where now the Dome of the Rock is. But, you know, 100 feet below that is, or who knows how many feet below that, is where the Second Temple was, the Temple of Solomon that was destroyed in 74 A.D., and one of the prophecies, he believed, that would bring down the Messiah was if the temple was rebuilt. And it had been interpreted by Jewish authorities as all you needed to do was erect a tent. And so he went in there and he tried to put up a tent. Arabs came out, they tried to stop him, pulled out a machine gun, he killed a bunch of them. It was a big stink. I wasn't there on the Temple Mound when it happened, but I was in the city, and it just blew everybody's mind. And you know, what is this? Where does this come from? We find James Watt, for example, Secretary of the Interior during the Reagan administration. He pushed hard for mining and timber interests to have greater access at an infinitely low price to minerals and timber on federally owned land. When he was confronted about it at a news conference, he said, Jesus will return to the earth at any time, and everything will be made new. So it doesn't matter if we pollute. It doesn't matter if we give this stuff away. It'll all be, you know, put back. Others of that persuasion or perspective were Ronald Reagan, Defense Secretary Caspar Weinberger, and, of course, Jerry Falwell. In February 1990, when I lived in Atlanta, Reagan visited Atlanta. I owned an ad agency at the time, and Days Inn was one of our largest clients. They paid Ronald Reagan $160,000 to give a 30-minute speech. And here's what he said. He said, and I quote, it's important to remember that the Battle of Armageddon is to begin in an area of Israel, according to prophecy. Now, back in 83, he had told a lobbyist for Israel, quote, you know, I turn back to your ancient prophets in the Old Testament and see four signs foretelling Armageddon, and I find myself wondering if we're the generation that's going to see that come about. I don't know if you've noted any of these prophecies lately, but believe me, they certainly describe the times we're going through. And in August of 1984, Reagan told State Representative James Mills, quote, everything's falling into place. It can't be long now. Ezekiel says that fire and brimstone will be rained down on the enemies of God's people. That must mean they'll be destroyed by nuclear weapons. Though such weapons exist now, and they never did in the past. Caspar Weinberger even went farther. He said that the war that was going to end all wars and bring about the rapture would begin on the hill of Megiddo in northern Palestine, about 15 miles southeast of Haifa. You see, very, very explicit. So, you know, much of the, depending on who you listen to, some folks say the rapture stuff goes all the way back to the beginning. They cite Matthew 24:25, although Jesus says this generation shall not pass away before these things are fulfilled, which always made me scratch my head. But anyhow, Margaret MacDonald and John Darby back in the 19th century put together a whole series of different prophecies in the Bible and came up with this idea that Hal Lindsey kind of reinvented and popularized. And now you've got the Left Behind books, which are among the most widely sold in the world. I mean, they don't show up on the New York Times bestseller list because they're considered religious fiction. But we're talking 15, 20 million books that have been sold. There are a lot of people who are into this. And where it gets really significant, as George Monbiot says, for 15% of the American electorate, explicitly, and he starts out with, you know, what happened at the Republican convention in Harris County, Texas. In Harris County, Texas, They put on the Republican plank a motion that stated that Israel has an undivided claim to Jerusalem and the West Bank. And this huge battle ensued in the Republican Party in Texas. And what came out of it was basically there's this group that said, you know, we've got to do this. We've got to provoke a war because that war has to bring about the return of Jesus. And so American pollsters believe 15 to 18% of Americans basically agree with this. John Ashcroft is a true believer in this. Tom DeLay is a true believer in this. And George Bush says he is. And so, you know, I think that this is an important and significant issue, and I would like you and I to get an insight into the thinking and the background, the documentation, what is it that makes this so real for these folks? And so we have on Todd Strandberg. Todd he calls himself your roving rapture reporter. In George Monbiot's column, U.S. policy toward Mideast is driven by a rarefied form of madness. It's time we took it seriously. Apocalypse, please. He references raptureready.com, which is Todd's website. Todd, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi there, Tom.
Hey, I hope I haven't misrepresented any of this. I'm trying to give people a little background, at least from my point of view. What, according to your website, we're right up on the edge of the rapture.
Yeah. Well, first, let me say I've been on a lot of radio programs, and you've done one of the best intros that I've had in a long time. Most time, I just have this man just rambling on stuff. He doesn't even have any comprehension. And you really did a good job of setting it up.
Well, thank you. I mean, I've known about this stuff for a lot of years, and I've known people who are really, really into it. And in fact, I confess I was myself at one point in time. And so, I mean, more than 20 years ago, and I've had some second thoughts about it now, but that's a whole other thing. Do you think, rather than talking about your personal beliefs, which I'd like to, just respect and let you have, let's talk broadly about this 15% of the American electorate who perhaps have read the Left Behind books and certainly George Bush and these folks, John Ashcroft, these folks within the administration, Tom DeLay, who subscribe to this notion. Is a war in the Middle East an essential thing in order for the rapture to come about and Jesus to return to the earth?
Well, the rapture is an unknown event. It will occur before the tribulation starts and all what people call the bad stuff.
Right. It's the trigger.
It's the trigger for that will initiate the 7 year tribulation.
Right. And then the rapture is mostly tracked back to Matthew. It's either 24 or 25 where Jesus talks about, two men will be at the well and one will vanish and two women will be cutting wheat and one will vanish or whatever it is. I'm not sure that. For me, there wasn't a clear connection between that and the descriptions of the end of days, the four horsemen of the apocalypse in Revelation. How do you make that connection?
Well, I like 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18, where Christ talks about we'll be caught up together in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. That implies a supernatural event there, because other views on the end times could take the one in Matthew and view it different ways.
Sure, but that wasn't Jesus speaking. That was Paul.
Yeah, that was Paul. But he was speaking through the authority of the Word of God. I mean, what he says in there is what we believe to be true.
Okay. So to what extent do you think that the Antichrist is on the earth right now? This is one of the preconditions, as I remember.
I believe he's alive on earth. I don't believe we will know who he is before the rapture. I mean.
Right.
Takes place.
Now, the number of the beast is 666, and then the Bible, yeah. When it says that, then there's this little parenthetic note that I always found fascinating. Let he who has ears, or let he who has understanding know, or something to that effect. And this is in Revelation, 3 or 7? I forget. It's been a lot of years. Anyhow, if you George Walker Bush, the original name of the Bush family, they changed it from the German spelling B-U-S-C-H-E to Bush, with the first generation that came over here about 100 years ago. That would, if you used his original spelling, you have six letters in each name, George Walker Bush. On the other hand, if you simply add up the numeric value, A is 1, B is 2, C is 3, that sort of thing, for George Walker Bush, you get 177, which is a 6. If you take July 6, 1946, the day that he was born, you get a 6. If you take it adds up to 7 plus 6 plus 1 plus 9 plus 4, 33, which is a 6. If you take his the date of his first elected office in Texas, November 8, 1994, and you add up those numbers, that's a 6. And so he there you got a 666. Six, six.
Well,
and,
you know,
and if you take the date that he was inaugurated President of the United States, it's a 6.
I think that's pretty much doing reverse mathematics to come up with a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean,
so you don't think George Bush is
another one.
Yeah, I know, Ronald Wilson Reagan. So you don't think George Bush is the Antichrist?
No, no. He might be cleaning streets in Europe someplace right now. We don't, or he might be a president or a premier of some nation.
Yeah.
It's really, being that he's down the line, is not. I don't think it really should be all that much of a focus. I have more of a practical look on things. We should be doing things that are pleasing to the kingdom of God rather than trying to figure out who's the Antichrist by doing all these crazy mathematics.
Yeah, well, you know, and I understand and I respect that. I think, though, that, you know, I want to put this in a political perspective because there are people right now at the head of our government who are making political decisions based on this belief system, and I think that, you know, it's important for us to have that as a context. We got to take a couple-minute break here, Todd, and then we'll have about 5 minutes to wrap this up on the other side of the break. So if you can hold on, we'll be right back with you. We're talking with Todd Strandberg, who's the webmaster and originator of RaptureReady.com.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Do you want to find out what the invasion of Iraq was really about? Read the new illustrated book, We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartman. Once you've read We the People, you'll understand why conservatives are trying to bankrupt government and how perpetual war is used as a political strategy in the United States. You'll learn how our votes are in danger and what we must do about it. You'll discover why the Alien and Sedition Acts of 1798 matter today. Populist watchdog and national radio commentator Jim Hightower had this to say about We the People.
Not only does this book tell you what's really going on, but it even draws you a picture of it. Read, learn, and act.
We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartman. A compelling story of how a government by and for the people has been replaced by corporate domination. Fully illustrated by Neil Cohn, We the People issues a call to action in a most entertaining way. Available in bookstores everywhere.
Pine River, Michigan, where the abandoned Velsicol plant leaks cancer-causing chemicals into the water. It's a danger neighbors will be living with for years to come. The Bush administration says polluters no longer have to pay to clean up the mess they leave behind. Taxpayers do. That means less money, fewer cleanups, and more families left at risk. Mr. President, there is a better way. Make polluters pay. Protect our kids and communities.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Setting up a radio station? Wondering what software to use? Listen to the words of Mike Chandler of WOBS in Florida talking about the Tune Tracker system.
I love the software. I mean, it is rock solid. It has not burped one single time. This thing has not stopped. And I tell you, I've got some software that I run at two of my other radio stations that cost tons and tons more. One I paid, I think, $1,500 for it. And then one system, which was the Arrakis DigiLink system, I paid $15,000 for it. But this rivals my $15,000. $1,000 system.
As Mike Chandler said, the Tune Tracker system is rock solid. And the price? Only $349.95 for the Pro version with traffic interface and only $149.95 for the original Tune Tracker 2. Either way, you'll have a radio automation system that performs like systems costing thousands more. For more information, go to our website, www.tunetrackersystems.com. www.tunetrackersystems.com.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
And could the calm be before the storm be the rapture before the tribulations? Here's why this is significant. 15% of Americans subscribe, according to a Time magazine survey, 15% of Christian Americans subscribe to the worldview that Todd Strandberg represents on his website, raptureready.com. That is a significant enough constituency that if they get out and vote for George W. Bush, they could give him the election. And in fact, he mobilized those people for his father in the first time that his father ran for office. And it was the deciding factor, as Frontline documented a week or two ago. And as George Monbiot points out, he says, so here we have a major political constituency representing much of the current president's core vote in the most powerful nation on earth, which is actively seeking to provoke a new world war. Its members see the invasion of Iraq as a warm-up act, as Revelation 9:14 maintains that four angels, which are bound at the great river of Euphrates, will be released to slay the third part of men. They batter down the doors of the White House as soon as its support for Israel wavers. When Bush asked Ariel Sharon to pull his tanks out of Jenin in 2000, he received over 100,000 angry letters from Christian fundamentalists and never mentioned the matter again. Todd Strandberg, what's the consensus in the evangelical community about the need for war in the Middle East?
Well, I kind of look at these people that are chomping at the bit for Armageddon to start and want to help it along as, you know, as being counterproductive to the cause here.
How so?
The cause is to be spiritually ready. Those that go out and advocate certain events to try to grease the wheels are doing damage to the cause of Christ.
You don't think it's both that you know, people need to be those who think that they're going to become, you know, flying nudists, that they're going to go up into the sky, and as Jerry Falwell describes, you know, two people will be driving in a car and suddenly, well, as the Left Behind books so eloquently illustrate, even the very first one, that you know, people need to get ready for that spiritually, but in the physical world, I mean, that there's work to do. You know, you got to get ready for the battle of Armageddon. You've got to get the players in position. That second temple has to be erected on the Temple Mount. Israel has to have, you know, according to prophecy, I forget where it was. I think it was Jeremiah. It has to have, you know, absolute control over the entire area of greater Israel. Isaiah 11:12, and he set up an ensign for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together to disperse to Judah from the four corners of the earth. I mean, there's a lot of people who are working on this stuff, are there not?
Yes, and I say let prophecy be prophecy. If it's predicted to happen, it will happen. There's nothing we need to do to move it along.
Okay, well, you know, I appreciate that you're a little more rational in this than I think, you know, a lot of the people that I know and have met in this are. But I'd like you, those few in our government who have become outspoken about this. I mean, you know, James Watt, apparently George Bush, certainly John Ashcroft, suggesting that we actually need to move events along to bring this about, and that seems to play very well with the very conservative Christian community in America. How widespread do you think that is of the 15% of American Christians who consider themselves, you know, really ready for the rapture any minute now and literally expecting it to happen in their lifetime?
Well, I'm surprised it's like it just 15%. I know there's more broader appeal.
Well, there's like 69% of Americans define themselves as evangelicals, but you know within but the it's going to happen any minute group. Well, it depends on there's a Time magazine study. I don't know how good it is. We've only got a few seconds left here, Todd. How widespread do you think this is?
Oh, I believe it's part of a good majority of the people that probably look for stuff like that happen. Yeah. You know, I take a more conservative view of it, but I would say it's the majority.
And you think it's right around the corner on your RaptureReady.com website? We're just like a day away from it, more or less.
We're close. I don't set dates, but I think we're very close.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Todd Strandberg, RaptureReady.com. I appreciate you being with us, Todd.
Thank you, Tom.
Been a good guest. Do good. Talk to you later. It's the Tom Harmon Radio Program, 29 minutes past the hour. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
A must read, The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. Ed Hallowell, a nationally recognized expert on ADD, said this about The Edison Gene.
Tom Hartman demonstrates that ADHD can be associated with creativity, high achievement, and a most successful adaptive style.
The Edison Gene, now available in bookstores everywhere.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
A partial settlement in the class action lawsuit against Enron filed by former employees who lost big when the company tanked in 2001. The company will turn over proceeds from various insurance policies valued at about $85 million to a fund set up to recoup workers whose pensions were heavily invested in Enron stock. Of the settlement, $68 million will go to the workers and the lawyers get the rest. Several other class action claims against the company and its executives are still pending.
Like the pickets, Boston police unionists might set up around the Democratic National Convention, New York union members may be picketing outside the Republican National Convention this summer. RNC leaders tapped CNN to be the pool network supplying audio and video feeds to all other news organizations. International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, electricians, usually set up inside Madison Square Garden, but CNN wants to use non-union labor to install the hundreds of miles of cables needed to wire this international event. For almost 20 years, CNN used unionized workers in Washington, D.C. and New York City, represented by the National Association of Broadcast Employees and Technicians, or NABET. But recently, CNN stopped using contractors and hired its own staff with lower wages and benefits. Ed McEwen is the president of NABET Local 11, representing 1,600 broadcast engineers.
At CNN, they eliminated the union, and that's really a violation of these people's rights.
NABET is asking politicians not to appear on CNN until the dispute is resolved.
For several years, major clothing companies have adopted codes of conduct for the textile factories that make their apparel, but the codes have never been effectively enforced, much less examined for compliance. But on Wednesday, the Gap Incorporated released a report ranking its contractors' compliance with its own labor code and found that, quote, few factories, if any, are in full compliance all the time. The most egregious violations included physical abuse and squalid working conditions, especially at Gap-contracted sweatshops in China and India. Yet of the more than 3,000 contractors the clothier uses to make its line, the Gap cut ties to only 136 last year for labor rights reasons.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Although there's been a slight increase in jobs this year, the U.S. economy may be suffering from a wage recession. According to new U.S. Department of Commerce figures, corporate profits have swelled totally out of proportion to workers' wages. U.S. corporate profits grew by 87% from 2001 to the end of 2003. Wages and salaries increased by only 4.5%, and after inflation is taken into account, that number shrinks to 1.1%.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
fearlessly exploring the truth of the day. Here's Tom Hartman.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line. The first year they had me putting wheels on Cadillacs. Every day I'd watch them beauties roll by, and sometimes I'd hang my head and cry, 'cause I always wanted me one that was long and black. One day I devised myself a plan that should be the envy of most any man. I'd sneak it out of there in the lunchbox in my hand.
Yeah, good luck, Johnny. Welcome back. It's the Tom Hartman radio program, 26 minutes before the hour. George Bush speaking to these issues.
But our responsibility to history, is already clear. To answer these attacks and rid the world of evil.
Now, you know, this is the core. Evil is a word that is connected to religion. Criminals is a word that is connected to criminal justice. Somebody is evil, they're irredeemable. They must be killed in this worldview. If somebody is a criminal, there is still the possibility of redemption. This is why I think that this worldview that Bush is suggesting doesn't even qualify as Christian. If you actually read the words of Jesus. But in any, that's a whole other rant. But anyhow, he continues.
The liberty we prize is not America's gift to the world. It is God's gift to humanity. We Americans have faith in ourselves, but not in ourselves alone. We do not claim to know all the ways of providence, yet we can trust in them, placing our confidence in the loving God behind all of life and all of history.
Well, right up until that and all of history, it was a nice sentiment. And then we find out that Ashcroft, Tom DeLay, George Bush are believers in the notion that a war in Israel wouldn't be such a bad thing. In fact, there's a huge contingent within the Republican Party. They've taken over much of the Texas Republican Party, for example, and they're taking over components of the Republican Party all over the United States who actually believe that war in the Middle East is the absolute necessary thing in order to bring about the true New World Order. It started Margaret MacDonald and John Darby back in the 19th century. Two immigrant preachers cobbled together a series of unrelated passages from the Bible to create what appears to be a consistent narrative. Jesus will return to earth when certain preconditions are met. The first of these will be the establishment of a state of Israel. The next involves Israel's occupation of the rest of its biblical lands and the rebuilding of the third temple on the site now occupied by the Dome of the Rock. And by the way, Orthodox Jews believe this, or many of them, as well as fundamentalist Christians. The legions of the Antichrist will be deployed against Israel, and their war will lead to a final showdown in the Valley of Armageddon. The Jews will either burn or convert to Christianity, and the Messiah will return to earth. This, George Monbiot writes this in the Inquirer. What makes the story so appealing to Christian fundamentalists is that before the big battle begins, all true believers will be lifted out of their clothes and wafted up to heaven during an event called the Rapture. Not only do the worthy get to sit at the right hand of God, but they'll be able to watch from the best seats their political and religious opponents being devoured by boils, sores, locusts, and frogs during the 7 years of tribulation that will follow. 7 years of tribulation. Revelation 11:7-8, and when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them, and their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city where also our Lord was crucified. There must be war in Jerusalem, according to this worldview, according to this interpretation of Revelation. And this religious minority within the United States could very likely be, and was, in fact, in the case of George Herbert Walker Bush, the swing vote that could put a president into the White House. And this belief system is shared by many of our elected officials. 1-866-889-8894. By the way, in our chat room, if you want to drop into our chat room, go to TomHartman.com. And just click the chat button. The chat room is full of folks. Interesting discussion. In fact, Benedict at Large made the comment, I think the rapture's already happened, but God only lifted their brains out of their bodies. Could be. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. And Mike in Atlanta is on the line. Hey, Mike, welcome to our program.
Hey, Tom. Good to talk to you again. I'm glad you picked this subject because I think it's a very interesting topic.
I think it's not just interesting. I think this has so much to do with international relations. Why it's the subtext for many people, like General Boykin, about why we had to invade Iraq. Many of the neocons and most Americans have no clue about this.
Exactly. I know some people that are very into this, and it's very vengeful. The whole thing is very vengeful, and I wanted to make the point that I prefer a metaphorical interpretation to most of the Bible anyway. But to me, it seems like this whole, like your guest said, he said, concentrate on doing acts of God rather than pleasing to God rather than looking for an antichrist. And I think that's pretty obvious. I mean, if you're machine gunning people on the Temple Mount because they don't allow you to put up a tent, how exactly is that an act of God?
Well, and as Alan Goodman was doing that, he was screaming, Mashiach now! Mashiach now! As he was killing Arabs, you know, the unbelievers. And of course, he wasn't the first to do that. This was a subtext to the Crusades as well.
Right. And I'm thinking, you know, as a metaphor, I mean, if there is an Antichrist, it's this idea, this sort of subconscious idea, that we need to go in and we need to commit these acts of violence and we need to do these things which are incredibly ungodly to bring about the rapture. If anything, that's the Antichrist. And, you know, I think George Bush pretty much qualifies for that if he really believes in this sort of thing.
Yeah. May well be. Type George W. Bush and 666 into Google and see what you get. You will find you are not alone in thinking that. Mike, thanks for the call. I got to move along here. I appreciate it. 1-866-889-8894. 20 minutes before the hour. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, broadcasting live from the People's Republic of Vermont to radio stations from coast to coast, beaming down from outer space on the Sirius satellite. 1-866-889-8894 if you'd like to be on the program. If you got thoughts on this, Kodak in North Carolina, one of our Sirius truckers. Sirius as in the satellite. I suppose you're a Sirius trucker too, aren't you, Kodak?
Yes, I have Sirius in my truck.
And you seriously drive that truck.
Exactly.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on all this?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say, Tom, you are now my superhero. I mean, because I don't mind talking politics with anyone. But to go politics and religion, what a volatile subject.
Oh, it's the third rail. I mean, I was half expecting to get death threats again. Somebody put a couple of bullets in our car a couple of months ago, and it's probably going to happen again now. I don't know. We'll see.
But here's the thing. Well, with any and most religions, they all have some good potent or advice or admonishment. But at somewhere, there's always... they have some flaw in it. And one thing that a lot of people forget, they can't bring about this anything because it says that all these events that take place are going to be done for the pure reason that it will be God's will so that all will know that he is the Almighty God.
But see, George Bush, in his interview with Woodward, Woodward said, okay, you're going to invade Iraq. There's only one other president who's ever invaded Iraq. It's your father by coincidence. He was successful. He knew Saddam Hussein. He used to do business with him. Don Rumsfeld used to do business with him. He sold him all those, you know, nerve agents and chemical agents that Saddam used to gas the Kurds. He sold him the helicopters that he used. He sold him stuff that he used against Iran. You know, why don't you go to your father and ask advice on how to attack Iraq? And George W. said, he's not the father to go to for strength. I go to a higher father. Bush really believes that he's doing God's work. And when he speaks to evangelicals, he makes it clear that he believes that part of the God's as president is supposed to do, and he's not the first to say this, by the way, Reagan did as well, is to bring about the end of days.
Well, actually, we can even go back even further than that. We can go back to Noah. He was preaching the same thing to the masses.
Yeah, but he wasn't president of the United States.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, there's a difference. There's a difference, Kodak.
But here's the point that's important, though.
And Tom DeLay believes this. You know, Tom DeLay, the power, the hammer, they call him in the United States House of Representatives, believes this. Yeah. And you've got John Ashcroft believing this.
Here's the thing I always point out to people. You know, all those people in that day felt that they had the right religion. They were doing the right thing. They were good people. They hadn't hurt anyone. But when those when the flood came about, according to the Bible account, all those people, including Noah's good mother, drowned.
Yeah.
So, you know, God's fans are maybe a little bit higher than we expect.
Well, I personally just have to say I have a problem with that. I mean, you know, the God to whom I pray is
right.
is not quite that petty, frankly.
Exactly.
But
my other point was on CNN, they had the Senate Arms Committee hearings today, and I have to say kudos to the representative from West Virginia.
Yeah, Robert Byrd.
Yes, Robert Byrd said, shame on them for presenting such a budget without any checks and balances in there. He went to lay out where the administration had failed in order to honor the Constitution. He says, I'm standing here with the Constitution in my hand, and it's a shame that I have to remind you all that it is our responsibility to oversight any fundings appropriated by the government.
Well, and not only that, when those guys take the oath of office, they don't take an oath of office to protect and defend the United States. They,
right.
You know, they take an oath of office to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Yes.
And the Constitution says no one may be held without the right to face their accuser, the right to a speedy trial, the right to an attorney to defend them, the right to make bail. No one. It's explicit. There are no exceptions in the Constitution.
Byrd told him to go back and tell the president that we are not giving him authorization to take this money and spend it in any other war, or any other war, because I will be to the effect neglecting my oath of office.
Yeah.
Now, where is Dick Cheney?
Yeah, where is Dick Cheney ever? You know, he's probably hiding out in his bunker.
Like a fan on these issues that's going on today.
Hiding out in his bunker, reading Revelation. I got a great clip here of Pat Leahy taking Donald Rumsfeld apart that I was going to play in this hour if I had time. We may have to get to it in the next hour. But anyway, I got to move along, Kodak.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
Hey, all the people in the chat room.
Okay, your regards are passed along, and they're saying hi back, and look forward to you dropping back in when you're not driving. The chat room's a hoot, as you know. Thanks, Kodak. Good to hear from you. 15 minutes before the hour, 14 minutes before the hour now, 1-866-889-8894. If you'd like to be on the program, have thoughts on this. Brian in New Mexico is on the air, on the line. Hey, Brian, you're on the air.
How are you doing this morning?
I am great, but I'll get better. What's up, Brian?
Oh, no, I really enjoyed that first speaker you had. I too, like you, kind of grew up in the Christian world and have now not changed my views, but I guess a little more open-minded. Sometimes people in that, world or belief system are a little closed-minded.
Well, in any belief system. I mean, you know, please don't take this as an indictment of Christianity. There are right now in northern India Hindus who are, you know, in Kashmir, who are out there running assassination squads against the Muslims, and Muslims who are attempting to kill Hindus in Kashmir. I was up near that region just a couple of years ago when I went and hung out with the Dalai Lama, and there's fighting going on just 15 miles from us. You've got, name your religion. I mean, with the possible exception of Buddhism, and there have been a few exceptions over the years, but by and large, with the single exception of Buddhism, which holds, as in my opinion, Jesus said Christianity should, but the Christians have pretty much ignored that ever since Paul came along. With the exception of Buddhism, you've got all the major religions have within them right-wing fundamentalist fringes who believe that the ends justify the means, that if you kill somebody under the appropriate circumstances, you're not guilty for that murder, or if you do actions that bring about the killing, for example, declaring a righteous war, that's, you know, blood is not on your hands. George Bush putting people to death in Texas, blood is not on his hands, in his opinion. And they justify this with religion, and it makes, to me, it is hypocrisy.
Yeah, I think to me, I'd agree with you there. That's the scary part about it. And with the, you know, with the current situation that the United States is in with, fundamentalist Islamic, it's kind of like it's the fundamentalist Islamic fighting the fundamentalist Christian.
Yeah.
In the war to end all wars. And
it really is. It really is.
Think, yeah, and people shouldn't be trying to create Armageddon because if it's prophesied as the Bible says, it'll come on its own.
But you've got Boykin out there, and you got Bin Laden out there, and they're two sides of the same coin, in my opinion.
Right, exactly.
They're both saying it's time for us to do this.
And no way will the two ever realize that they're on the same coin.
Yeah. Oh, no, of course not, because there's good and evil in both of their minds. And anyhow, thanks thanks for the point, Brian. You know, well made. I appreciate your calling. 12 minutes before the hour, 1-866-889-8894. Telephone number, Chris in New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Chris, what's up?
Not a great deal, Tom. You know, to those people who might think that the Bush administration is divinely predestined, looking at the arrogant, bumbling, clueless results doesn't say much for God's abilities in those areas, does it?
Well, Bush believes he's divinely predestined, and there's a lot of cons who believe in the not only the religion of fundamentalist, millennialist, end days Christianity, but also believe in the religion of conservative economics, who think that the only problem, you know, yeah, we hit a bump in the road, you've got all these people unemployed, the middle class is vanishing, the environment's, you know, falling apart. But that's only a bump in the road. If we can simply get government completely, as, to quote Grover Norquist, drowned in the bathtub, and let the corporations take over, then all will be well. You know, it's an article of faith, just like, you know, the idea of the rapture.
Simply the fact that we have a president of the United States of America that feels compelled to preach to his people just says a lot in and of itself.
Well, he's doing this because that's the part of his base that is the I don't want to call them the swing vote. They're the tail that wags the dog. They're the ones who pushed him over the top in 2000. They're the ones who pushed his father over the top the one time he won, and they're the ones he's counting on to push him over the top again. And that's why he uses all this code language in his speeches. Thanks, Chris. Tom Hartman here with you.
Do you want to own a computer? Is your credit less than perfect? If you have a checking account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.95 for just 12 months, then you are already approved for a brand new IBM, Dell, eMachine, or other name brand computer guaranteed. You heard right. Bad credit? No credit? No problem. There is no credit check, so you will not be turned down. If you have a checking account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.95 for just 12 months, you are approved for your brand new name brand computer. Just call 800-588-0596. Freedom Frog Funding says you are approved. So give us a call today at 800-588-0596 to have your brand new computer shipped right to you. And if you act now, we'll add a $200 upgrade and a one-year warranty for free. You heard right. We will upgrade your computer and throw in a warranty absolutely free. So don't wait. Let Freedom Frog Funding send you the computer of your dreams today. Call 800-588-0596. That number is 800-588-0596.
Hi, this is Tom Hartman. Join me this October as we explore Greece, the ancient birthplace of democracy. When the founding fathers were searching for the best and fairest form of government, they studied the models of Athenian democracy. We'll explore together this part of the ancient world where the ideas that today animate modern democracy were first worked out. This journey is set on the shore of the sparkling Mediterranean Sea with the sacred mountains of Crete behind us. We'll visit the ancient site of Gortian, famous for the Law Code of Gortian, large 6th century BC tablets of stone built into a wall and one of the first examples of laws ever written down, and now the oldest still in existence. I'll teach workshops at the two most important sites in all of Crete, Knossos and Phaistos, plus more. At Knossos, we'll experience the main ceremonial center and the palace of King Minos. For information on how you can join us on this trip of a lifetime, visit www.tomhartman.com or call 1-800-234-TOUR. That's 1-800-234-TOUR, T-O-U-R.
Are you or a loved one making too many trips to the bathroom? Listen closely because you're not alone. Over 30 million men suffer from an enlarged prostate. That's why if you make frequent trips to the bathroom, have urgency, hesitancy, or a diminished sex drive, then Super Prostate Formula is for you. It was designed by nationally recognized physician Dr. Michael Toplitsky. The results with his patients have been amazing. Reclaim control now and join the thousands of satisfied customers who have had incredible results with Super Prostate Formula. When you order two bottles of Dr. Toplitsky's Super Prostate Formula, you'll also get two bottles of his Super Libido Formula, an all-natural alternative to Viagra to enhance sexual vitality and performance, plus his book, Complete Guide to Prostate Health, and his newsletter, a total $100 value free as your gift. Guaranteed, or your money back. If you're not completely satisfied, return it for a full refund and keep his Libido Formula book and newsletter free as your gift. Not available in stores. Call now, 800-452-0978. 800-452-0978. That's 800-452-0978.
Seabirds in Scotland lose their leftovers and have to make a switch in their diets. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. A lot of seabirds like to follow commercial fishing boats to eat the undersized fish that get dumped overboard. One of those birds is the great skua, a big brown seabird that breeds on islands in the North Sea off the coast of Scotland. But the great skua has fewer easy leftovers these days. That's because fishing restrictions have cut the number of fishing boats on the North Sea. A scientist in Scotland says it looks like the great skua is making up for lost fish by eating other birds. Stephen Vautier is an ecologist at the University of Glasgow, and he's published a paper on great skuas in the journal Nature. Vautier says great skuas have probably always eaten smaller birds to some degree, but he says small birds make up a growing proportion of the skua's diet since the decline in commercial fishing activity. Vautier says the skuas often kill puffins, fulmars, and black-legged kittiwakes that also roost in colonies on the Scottish Isles.
They tend to wait for the birds to come back to the colonies. The skuas effectively are hanging around the colonies and looking for either chicks or for adult birds. They might be feeding on seabirds further out to sea. We don't know that because we couldn't very easily observe what was happening out at sea.
Vautier says the fishing restrictions in the North Sea are designed to restore populations of cod and herring.
We need to conserve our fish stocks not only for environmental reasons, but also from an economical point of view, as many people rely on fishing as an industry.
Vautier says rebuilding healthy populations of fish in the North Sea is essential to restoring some stability for commercial fishing and for birds like the great skua that like to eat fish as well. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Democracy to the United States of America. Here's Tom Hartman.
As taking care of business, 4 minutes here before the hour. It's the Tom Hartman radio program, live coast to coast. Uncommon sense from the radical middle. I misspoke. When I was talking to our guest, I quoted the number right the first time, but then after that, for some reason, I fell back. Here it says 90 million evangelical Christians in the United States, according to a Time magazine poll, 59%, not 15%, 59% of all Americans trust that St. John's prophecy will be fulfilled literally during their lifetime. More than half. Pretty amazing. Now, here's where this becomes significant in my mind. And that is that it's fine if people want to believe this. I have no problem with it. I mean, I've been there. I think that it's, you know, everybody, religious faith, having a belief, these are, I believe, frankly, positive things. Even if your belief system is purely humanist or secularist or scientific or whatever it may be, that we all have to have some place that we can go to for solace, and we all have to have something that we can look at and go, wow, that's amazing. You know, it's like looking out at the light. I'm looking out right now at trees and leaves, and the sun is shining, and it's all alive. You know, it's all filled with life, and it astounds me. It absolutely astounds me, and I think that's a good and extraordinary thing. And I'm all in favor of people having some sense of awe about life, whether they call that religion or whether they, you know, whatever they call it. I think it's essential for emotional, mental, and spiritual health. However, when this country was founded, there was this very explicit, what Thomas Jefferson referred to as a wall put up between church and state. And from the founding of this country until George W. Bush became president, every president has understood that whatever his personal religious beliefs may be, they shouldn't be influencing policy because there is separation of church and state. We are not a theocracy. This is not a country run by mullahs. This is not a country run by popes. This is not a country run by the Jerry Falwells of the world. This is a country run by the rule of law. And we must, if we fail to return to that at our own risk, and at tremendous risk, not just to our democracy, but to peace all over the world, because so many of these religions have fringe elements within them that are not only perfectly willing to accept violence to bring about their ends, but even promote it. And I think it's time for us to be very concerned about Bush's thoughts in this area. Tom Harbin with you. Integrity and passion in broadcasting truth.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly, and they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America, Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
Pop and not so pop culture, democracy and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
A partial settlement in the class action lawsuit against Enron filed by former employees who lost big when the company tanked in 2001. The company will turn over proceeds from various insurance policies valued at about $85 million to a fund set up to recoup workers whose pensions were heavily invested in Enron stock. Of the settlement, $68 million will go to the workers and the lawyers get the rest. Several other class action claims against the company and its executives are still pending.
Like the pickets Boston police unionists might set up around the Democratic National Convention, New York union members may be picketing outside the Republican National Convention this summer. RNC leaders tapped CNN to be the pool network supplying audio and video feeds to all other news organizations. International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, electricians, usually set up inside Madison Square Garden, but CNN wants to use non-union labor to install the hundreds of miles of cables needed to wire this international event. For almost 20 years, CNN used unionized workers in Washington, D.C. and New York City, represented by the National Association of Broadcast Employees and Technicians, or NABET. But recently, CNN stopped using contractors and hired its own staff with lower wages and benefits. Ed McEwen is the president of NABET Local 11, representing 1,600 broadcast engineers.
At CNN, they eliminated the union, and that's really a violation of these people's rights.
NABET is asking politicians not to appear on CNN until the dispute is resolved.
For several years, major clothing companies have adopted codes of conduct for the textile factories that make their apparel, but the codes have never been effectively enforced, much less examined for compliance. But on Wednesday, The Gap Incorporated released a report ranking its contractors' compliance with its own labor code and found that, quote, few factories, if any, are in full compliance all the time. The most egregious violations included physical abuse and squalid working conditions, especially at Gap-contracted sweatshops in China and India. Yet, of the more than 3,000 contractors the clothier uses to make its line, The Gap cut ties to only 136 last year for labor rights reasons.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Although there's been a slight increase in jobs this year, the U.S. economy may be suffering from a wage recession. According to new U.S. Department of Commerce figures, corporate profits have swelled totally out of proportion to workers' wages. U.S. corporate profits grew by 87% from 2001 to the end of 2003. Wages and salaries increased by only 4.5%, and after inflation is taken into account, that number shrinks to 1.1%.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again.
Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
The powers that be, both political and corporate, are expert at fooling themselves while mistakenly thinking that they're also fooling us. The latest culprits in this fool's game are the barons of cable television. Lobbyists for such outfits as Time Warner, Cablevision, and Cox rammed a deregulation law through Congress in 1997 that allows them to set their own rates. Trust us, they said at the time, promising that the elixir of unregulated competition would magically cause our monthly cable charges to fall. Like rubes at their first medicine show, Congress swallowed this tonic of lies, and now you and I are stuck with an unregulated cable TV monopoly in each of our towns that, far from lowering our rates, has jacked up our monthly bills by 40% in just 6 years. Well, yes, say the cable giants, but we now give you more channels than before. Who do they think they're fooling? Yes, we get more channels, but they show the same old junk, including repeats of repeats and dozens of channels we never requested and never watch. Indeed, we pay for about 63 channels, but mostly watch about 8. Well, yes, say the giants again, still believing they're fooling us, but the fees we pay for programming are up too, so we're being forced to raise our rates. Hey, Flim Flam Man, in many cases you are the programmer. For example, Time Warner owns CNN, TBS, TNT, Cartoon Network, and many others, so it's paying itself for the higher program costs. Besides, the cost of all the programs you get on cable is only about $7 of your monthly cable bill, which now averages nearly $37. Well, yes, say the giants, trying one more trick on us, but we need higher rates to survive. Survive? Your profit margins are running above 30%, about 3 times the average of other industries. This is Jim Hightower saying, to fight this tomfoolery, call Consumers Union, 202-462-6262.
It's difficult enough to work your way through this jungle called life every day without having to carry an 800-pound gorilla of high-interest student loans around with you. So just do what over 300,000 people have already done and call College Loan Corporation at 1-800-2-COLLEGE. College Loan Corporation will gladly give you the advice you need while helping you look into interest rates as low as 2.63%, the lowest federal rates in 40 years. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Toyota owners, tired of paying high gas prices? Well, how about paying nothing? That's right. Toyota is giving away free gas for a year to 12 lucky winners. Plus, 1,000 more will win $50 fill-ups. Just come into your participating Toyota dealer to enter the sweepstakes. You'll get the very best competitively priced service performed by Toyota-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and ask about our May tire and service offers.
No purchase necessary. Ends May 31st, 2004. Void where prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 or older with valid driver's license only. Void in Hawaii. Official rules at Toyota.com.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. 7 minutes past the hour. We have an Everything You Know Is Wrong guest we were going to start the hour with, but we've got three folks on hold, several callers, so I want to get to those in just a moment. People who I assume want to continue talking about the topic that we picked up on the first hour and just kind of wrap it up and close it out. I've also had several people email me and ask me, what did Jim McDermott say, the congressman from Washington, on the House floor on February 25th? Well, you know, George Bush, in his attempts to bring religion into government, has started, you know, the president's daily prayer briefing. And John Ashcroft, of course, opens every session of all the meetings that he has in the Justice Department every morning with prayer, and specifically Christian prayer. And Mr. McDermott, here's his speech, just very quickly. He said, Mr. Speaker, the president's presidential prayer team is urging us to, quote, pray for the president as he seeks wisdom on how to legally codify the definition of marriage. Pray that it will be according to biblical principles, end quote. So McDermott continues to say, with that in mind, I thought I would remind the body, this being the Congress of the United States, of the biblical principles they are talking about. Number one, marriage shall consist of a union between one man and one or more women. This is from Genesis 29:17-28. Secondly, marriage shall not impede a man's right to take concubines in addition to his wife or wives. This is from 2 Samuel 5:13 and 2 Chronicles 11:21. Third, a marriage shall be considered valid only if the wife is virgin. If the wife is not a virgin, she shall be executed. That from Deuteronomy 22:13. Number four, marriage of a believer and a non-believer shall be forbidden. This is from Genesis 24:3. And finally, says Congressman Duke McDermott to the United States House of Representatives, it says that since there is no law that can change things, divorce is not possible. And finally, if a married man dies, his brother must marry his sister-in-law. This is in two places in the Bible, Genesis 38:6-10 and Deuteronomy 25:5-10. So in response to those who had emailed and asked where that was and, you know, where it came from, somebody sent it to me in email, but I'm sure you could track it down by looking at Congressman Jim McDermott on Google and get into that. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. And Don in Atlanta has been patiently waiting. Hey, Don, welcome to the program.
All right, Tom. Listen, is there any way you can post what you just said about Ashcroft on your website?
You mean the thing from McDermott, you mean?
Right, yeah, McDermott about the marriage.
Yeah, sure. I'll go into the I'll do that tonight. I'll go into the into our chat room, or yeah, not our chat room, into our message board, the message board area, and I'll post it. Sure.
That'll give some good talking points. When we get the I'm in Atlanta with the Deep South religion, and when they start on that again, it'll give us some good biblical citations.
Yeah.
I want to bring a Buddhist perspective. I'm not a Buddhist, but I study Buddhism, and a Buddhist perspective to war, and this war in particular. Before you can get on the road to enlightenment, you have to get rid of three things. You have to get rid of greed, hatred, and delusion.
Right.
It took the Buddha 7 years to get rid of those, and you do it by meditation. Now, I would apply this to the war of greed. As the peacenik said, it's all about oil. That's the greedy part of it.
Well, not just oil. I mean, one-third of that $87.5 billion went to private contractors. Those private contractors are paying their employees over $100,000 a day. They're skimming another $50,000 to $60,000 a day off the top to supervise those employees and make their payroll. 20,000 private army folks over there. I mean, it's not just the oil. We've got corporations making out like bandits over there.
It's a large greed all the way around. I was just thinking oil is a central item, which generates the rest of the reason for being there. Hatred. Now, for 25 years, the American Hollywood and American press has been demonizing Arabic men. The evil people, and they're always terrorists. Nobody else in the world's ever done. You never see a movie about Timothy McVeigh, for example, but you see all these Hollywood movies about bad Arabs. And you generate a hatred amongst middle America for Arabs. And thirdly, delusion. And delusion is that we can bring a democratic form of Western government to the Middle East, that particularly to Iraq, which has those three prime cultures. That's a total delusion. No more than we could bring Christianity and capitalism to Vietnam can we bring that to Iraq.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, and this is the great problem. This administration was so, religious. I mean, this was a faith-based war. They had faith that all of these things would happen. And when all of the advisors in the military said, no, you can't run a war this way. This is what's going to happen. You're going to have to deal with the peace. You can't. You've got to have security immediately afterwards. You shouldn't fire the entire army. You want to bring them over to your side. Blah, 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 blah. And Rumsfeld and these guys, well, it really starts with Bush, said, hey, we know what we're doing. We're divinely inspired here.
And of course, Bush and Rumsfeld have said, Bush and Cheney said Rumsfeld's the greatest Secretary of Defense ever. Is that not the most deluded thing you've ever heard?
Yeah, better it's over the top.
One final point. Buddhism is the only of the five major beliefs. Buddhism is the only belief that's never had an aggressive, offensive war.
By and large, there have been a number of them in southern China over the years, Buddhist communities, mostly against each other. But by and large, you're correct.
I mean, as far as invading another country for occupation type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay, thanks
Absolutely.
A lot, Tom.
Thank you, Don. Good to hear from you. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Alan in Wisconsin's on the line. Hey, Alan, how are you listening to the program?
I'm listening to Sirius.
Oh, great. Oh, so the Lynn must be on now, right?
I must... Yeah.
But you're still...
call before it went off, I guess.
Yeah, but this part of the program will play tonight. Anyhow, what's up, Alan?
Have you heard the theory about John the Revelator? The Romans put him on the island because he was a schizophrenic?
I have not heard that theory from, you know, any serious theologians, but I certainly read it over the years. I mean, the kind of visions that he had are not inconsistent with those of what today we would call paranoid schizophrenia. On the other hand, it might be divine inspiration. I just don't know.
Okay, I just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a topic that a lot of people have discussed over the years, and it's a hot one to touch because it really offends Christians, and some people thought the same thing of Muhammad, for that matter, that you know, he had delusions of grandeur, or of Joseph Smith, you know, who created Mormonism, that he was a scam artist. There's extensive websites and biographies of the founding of Mormonism that, you know, either he was schizophrenic or he was just plain out and out, you know, with the golden tablets that nobody ever found, you know, that became the Book of Mormon, stuff like that.
Yeah, people say the same thing about Ellen G. White, the Seventh-day Adventist.
Yeah, Ellen White in 1887 took 150 people up on top of a mountain and you know, waited for 4 or 5 days for the end of the world to come. And when the end of the world didn't come, and there was a whole bunch of different millennialist sects in that era, in the late 1870s, 1880s, and 1890s. And when the end of the world didn't come, she was one of the few that actually was able to survive by coming back down and saying, well, you know, it's still going to come in the future, and let's get back to our knitting, you know, whereas a lot of them just became disillusioned with their leaders. But the Seventh-day Adventists survived that transition. The Jehovah's Witnesses, I believe, have a similar history. But there were a whole bunch of little sects that just vanished in the late part of the 19th century. A lot of them thought the year 1900 was going to be the year. And, of course, in the year 2000, we had a lot of people, you know, a lot of sects. And, you know, the folks at Waco and whatnot, you know, were per... you know, small-time examples of that kind of thinking. Yep. Anyhow, Alan, go ahead.
This is an interesting subject, and I do listen to your last 2 hours on the White Rose Society.
Oh, great, great. You can also listen to it on Sirius. It's pretty late at night, though, and they replay it a couple of days of the program on Saturday and Sunday in mid-afternoon. So thanks for the call, Alan. Great to hear
Thank
from you.
You.
Thank you. 15 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, 1-866-889-8894. Bill in Grants Pass, Oregon is on the line. Hey, Bill, thanks for waiting. What's up?
Hi, Tom. I think I'm grateful that you brought this subject up. I'm amazed at how many people don't really know the role of the Christian fundamentalists. I think Ralph Reed, if there would be credit or blame, would go to him. He said that they were using stealth. And he didn't want people to know what was going on until they showed up at election time with the body bags.
Or with the ballots. Yeah, in fact, Ralph Reed made the comment after the inauguration, the coronation of George W. Bush, that he was stepping down as the national leader of the Christian conservative movement because the new leader was the man in the White House. And he was not making a joke. He was not being facetious.
And they sent 70, and this is on the Christian Coalition page, they sent over 70 million voters' guides, largely through churches. You know, they've totally eliminated separation of church and state, and almost every one of these churches become polling places. You know, we want to know why we have to get people out to vote, and people should be angry. You know, in the name of God, stealth, what is stealth but a lie? They've encouraged people to go on school boards. Encouraging the destruction of the public school system is probably the greatest damage that they've done.
Now, you know, I have to say, Bill, I acknowledge that that's happening. In my opinion, a church has every right to encourage its people to get politically active, just like I do. You know, and I'm not a church here. I'm just this lone liberal out in the wilderness. I think we all have a right to encourage people to get politically active. Where churches step over the line, in my opinion, is when they go to the government and they say, number one, we're going to lobby you We're going to infiltrate you. We're going to get our people in there, and we want you to pass laws that are going to be following our religious agenda because our particular religion says so. You know, whether it's the Taliban or whether it's the anti-abortion Ashcroft contingent or whatever it may be, those who cite religion as the basis for their lobbying and then put a lot of money and effort behind it, that I have a problem with that. And the bigger problem that I have, which I think is just plain old flat out illegal, is George Bush has signed an executive order giving hundreds of millions of dollars to right-wing Christian churches for these faith-based initiatives. This was not passed by Congress. This is a violation of federal law. And these guys are using this money now for political activity as much as they are for social activity. And that, I think, is extremely wrong. You were saying. Bill, go ahead. Yeah, Bill, you there? Okay, guess not. Anyhow, sorry to interrupt you, Bill, but I just had to get that out. I'm saying it's the ADD in me. 18 minutes past the hour. Today, May 13th, 1981, Pope John Paul II was shot and seriously wounded in St. Peter's Square by Turkish assailant Mehmet Ali Aga. And later, the Pope... Consider how different the Pope responded to a man who actually tried to kill him versus how George Bush and the administration by and large have responded. The Pope didn't say, this man is evil. He's an evildoer. We must take care of him. Remember in Bush's State of the Union address, he says there's been more than 3,000 of these people caught around the world. We don't have to worry about them anymore. And he kind of chuckled, handed over to governments that would kill them. Well, the Pope confronted the man who tried to shoot him, Mehmet Ali Aga, and forgave him. Officially forgave him. Didn't let him out of prison, but he said, I forgive you for what you tried to do. He recognized the humanity in that man and the idea that all of us have the potential to recover from our errors. 20 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman program. Let's move on from religion. I want to get back into some other stuff here. Stick around. We'll be right back.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do they know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates block out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com. Or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Do you want to own a computer? Is your credit less than perfect? If you have a checking account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.95 for just 12 months, then you are already approved for a brand new IBM, Dell, eMachine, or other name brand computer guaranteed. You heard right. Bad credit? No credit? No problem. There is no credit check, so you will not be turned down. If you have a checking account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.95 for just 12 months, you are approved for your brand new name brand computer. Just call 800-588-0596. Freedom Frog Funding says you are approved. So give us a call today at 800-588-0596 to have your brand new computer shipped right to you. And if you act now, we'll add a $200 upgrade and a one-year warranty for free. You heard right. We will upgrade your computer and throw in a warranty absolutely free. So don't wait. Let Freedom Frog Funding send you the computer of your dreams today. Call 800-588-0596. That number is 800-588-0596.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org. or call 215-563-7110.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Research from the Medical College of Wisconsin highlights a workplace ailment related to people who work with vibrating machinery for long periods of time. It has symptoms common to repetitive stress injuries, first tingling and mild discomfort, then pain and numbness. The research seems to suggest constant exposure to vibration affects blood flow throughout the extremities, which can starve nerves of an adequate blood supply. Workplace light and sound levels are commonly regulated, but vibration amounts are not.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he that... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
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 Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs? Sure about that? Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know... One small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he a guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. 25 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you, broadcasting live, coast to coast, border to border. Camp All American, Hanoi Jane and the High and Tight. What a provocative title. This is the title of a new book. The subtitle is Gender, Folklore, and Changing Military Culture by Carol Burke. Carol is an associate professor of English and comparative literature at the University of California at Irvine. The author of five books, her work as a folklorist ranges from explorations of the folk life of rural Midwestern families to the penal system and the modern military. And we're pleased to have her with us. Carol, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Thank you. I'm pleased to be here.
Fascinating book you've written. You know, for decades there have been scandals like Tail Hook and reports of sexual assaults and misconduct toward women. And now we have women accused of sexual misconduct towards male prisoners in Iraq. Can you tell us what's going on? Lend us some meaning to this.
Well, I think that actually, although I don't usually endorse the comments of Rush Limbaugh, I think that Rush Limbaugh and other apologists for the current administration have compared what was going on and excused what was going on in the Abu Ghraib prison as fraternity pranks. And in fact, there's really some truth to that. When you look at the rituals that are being performed in some of the photographs, although they certainly are shocking and certainly look savage, in fact, they have a lot of similarities to practices within military culture that have enjoyed a long history. And the difference, obviously, is, I mean, nobody needs to be told that a pledge going through a fraternity initiation can go home if the hazing gets too tough. It's a little bit different when you're talking about members of the military and, for example, a sailor on board his ship.
Or about prisoners.
Crossing the line ceremony gets too tough. He certainly can't get in his car and go home.
Yeah, or about prisoners. I mean, you know, the cons of the writer talking about, well, you know, these hazing pranks. I mean, the prisoners can't say, well, this is too much. I want to go home now.
That's right. And what these rituals of ritual hazing really takes place in a context of initiation, which finally, you know, goes, sort of descends the initiates into a kind of underworld where all of these things are happening: deprivation of sleep, infantilization, feminization, and contact usually with something foul. And also there's a good deal of simulated sex in military initiations and in fraternity initiations.
So you're saying that the abuse at Abu Ghraib is a logical extension of this?
I'm not saying it's illogical. I think it's what is happening there is because of a lack of control, because I think you have some soldiers who are not adequately trained, who don't in many ways understand what they're doing there, and you have a stressful situation, and what they're doing is backing into the kind of out of control practices that they've learned as male rites of passage. Now, obviously, there's no transformation that's happening in a typical initiation. You know, soldiers, sailors go through this, and then there's an elevation in rank, there's an incorporation in the group. What you have at Abu Ghraib is simply nothing but sadism.
Simply wrong, yeah. Carol, I've got to ask you to hold there for just a minute. We got to take a break here. Camp All-American, Hanoi Jane and the High and Tight. You can stick around for another 5 minutes, Carol? Okay, great. Gender Folklore and Changing Military Culture, a new book by Carol Burke. It's the Tom Hartman Program. This is your Everything You Know Is Wrong segment. We'll be right back.
A must-read, The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. Ed Hallowell, a nationally recognized expert on ADD, said this about The Edison Gene.
Tom Hartman demonstrates that ADHD can be associated with creativity, high achievement, and a most successful adaptive style.
The Edison Gene, now available in bookstores everywhere.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
A partial settlement in the class action lawsuit against Enron filed by former employees who lost big when the company tanked in 2001. The company will turn over proceeds from various insurance policies valued at about $85 million to a fund set up to recoup workers whose pensions were heavily invested in Enron stock. Of the settlement, $68 million will go to the workers and the lawyers get the rest. Several other class action claims against the company and its executives are still pending.
Like the pickets, Boston police unionists might set up around the Democratic National Convention, New York union members may be picketing outside the Republican National Convention this summer. RNC leaders tapped CNN to be the pool network supplying audio and video feeds to all other news organizations. International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, electricians, usually set up inside Madison Square Garden, but CNN wants to use non-union labor to install the hundreds of miles of cables needed to wire this international event. For almost 20 years, CNN used unionized workers in Washington, D.C. and New York City, represented by the National Association of Broadcast Employees and Technicians, or NABIT. But recently, CNN stopped using contractors and hired its own staff with lower wages and benefits. Ed McEwen is the president of NABIT Local 11, representing 1,600 broadcast engineers.
At CNN, they eliminated the union, and that's really a violation of these people's rights.
NABIT is asking politicians not to appear on CNN until the dispute is resolved.
For several years, major clothing companies have adopted codes of conduct for the textile factories that make their apparel, but the codes have never been effectively enforced, much less examined for compliance. But on Wednesday, the Gap Incorporated released a report ranking its contractors' compliance with its own labor code and found that, quote, few factories, if any, are in full compliance all the time. The most egregious violations included physical abuse and squalid working conditions, especially at Gap-contracted sweatshops in China and India. Yet of the more than 3,000 contractors the clothier uses to make its line, the Gap cut ties to only 136 last year for labor rights reasons.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report.
Although there's been a slight increase in jobs this year, the U.S. economy may be suffering from a wage recession. According to new U.S. Department of Commerce figures, corporate profits have swelled totally out of proportion to workers' wages. U.S. corporate profits grew by 87% from 2001 to the end of 2003. Wages and salaries increased by only 4.5%, and after inflation has taken its to 1.1%.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, 26 minutes before the hour. Our Everything You Know Is Wrong segment. Our number is 866-889-8894. We're talking with Carol Burke, author of Camp All-American, Hanoi Jane, and The High and Tight, subtitled Gender, Folklore, and Changing Military Culture. Carol, what do we have to learn from the Private Jessica Lynch story?
Well, I think that the Jessica Lynch episode is really interesting because of the way in which it was documented by the military. What you have is a military that, starting in the first Gulf War, brought in members of Hollywood to instruct them or help them figure out how to represent the war from the military's point of view. And you have Special Forces soldiers going in to rescue Jessica Lynch, and then you have somebody among the Special Forces also there to document it.
Trained in Hollywood techniques.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
And were it such a horrific combat experience, would you actually take somebody and give them a camera to hold?
Yeah. Now, what do we have to learn from this? What is the lesson for us and for the military?
Well, I think first of all is the way in which the military is seeking to represent the war. On the other hand, I think we have a good deal to learn about the way in which the civilian media represented Jessica Lynch as that.
Well, it was the epic story. I mean, it was right out of a Robert McKee formula movie.
Oh, it
I mean,
was. It was. And what she was, our own media, civilian media, presented her not as soldier, but in many ways as civilian.
Or as heroine. And,
well, yes. Or, you know, both heroine and I mean, to be a heroine as a woman, in a way, reading this, you have to be a victim, too.
Yeah.
And she was certainly no threat to anyone.
Yeah.
And she was just the passive person whom stronger males came in to rescue.
Yeah. And another one of the Cinderella archetype, basically, you know, the whole
thing.
Right. Cinderella was
That's
the
right.
good one because she was the quiet and passive one. The two sisters who were trying to get what they wanted were characterized as ugly. What was the prize? A guy who was such a foot fetishist that he didn't even remember what her face looked like. I mean, you know, it was just a bizarre story that has become part of our culture. You're talking about the mythology
right.
of our culture. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Jim in New Mexico has a question for you. Hey, Jim, what's up?
Sure.
Yeah, and of course, I think as you've pointed out, Tom, Jessica Lynch wasn't under any great threat and didn't need to be rescued. In fact, I think they called to get her kind of picked up is what it amounted to.
Well, they drove her out once. They tried to deliver her to the American forces, and they came under fire and had to take her back to the hospital.
But anyway, as far as your guest, I've kind of gathered that this segment is for guests who you think are kind of out there. And so far, what she said about the hazing, that's the way it struck me from the beginning, which is not to minimize the effects, you know, how cruel it was and what effects it's having in the world. But as far as the behavior, I think she's right, and I'm wondering what you find outlandish about this.
No, I agree. I agree. Our Everything You Know Is Wrong segment is not for people who are on the lunatic fringe. It's for guests who are talking about things that generally aren't being talked about in the media. Those issues.
Okay,
those issues.
Well, I misunderstood. I'm glad I asked you then.
Yeah, I mean, occasionally we'll get somebody who wants to come on and talk about flying saucers, but 90% of the people that we get, in this segment are people who are just talking about things that are not part of the rational discourse that really should be. Did you have a question, Jim, specifically for Carol?
No. I appreciate what she says. I agree with her analysis from a behavioral point of view. I know people like that, and they just were unsupervised, obviously, and have created havoc, total havic. And provide another good excuse to get rid of Rumsfeld if anybody had any nerve.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, thanks a lot for the call, Jim. Why Carol Burke, author of Camp All American, Hanoi Jane and the High and Tight? Why does the military hate, and is it hate, Jane Fonda?
Well, I think that Jane Fonda has been demonized because she is a woman, and there's not any residual hatred that still circulates on the airwaves about her former husband Tom Hayden, even though he went to North Vietnam during the war two times. She went once.
Really?
I didn't know that. Excuse me.
I didn't know that. And yet he's a congressman now in California, is he not?
But I think that what she became was, when you look at the way in which soldiers who went off the war saw her first as, the cute ingenue of Tolstoy, who then becomes the sort of cult figure Barbarella, the sixth sex kitten who's always available. And then within just a couple of years, start proclaiming that the war is wrong and criticizing soldiers who come home. What they came home to was a world transformed, and particularly transformed in terms of, the women's movement was starting, everything. And Jane Fonda becomes the figure in which to invest.
She's the anti-archetype.
That hatred.
She's the anti-archetype. She's shifted from an acceptable archetype to a non-acceptable archetype. We don't want Barbarella being an anti-war activist, or even necessarily a pro-war activist if it's purely the sex kitten part. But, now we're seeing, for example, Angelina Jolie, is that her name? Mm-hmm. In these roles where it's the masculization, as it were, of women. Or it's real sexual stereotype, but the how would you describe it? What would you call it? This women taking on roles of superheroes defeating men and so on, and how is that infiltrating into our military?
Well, I do think that it's not just our military. I think that women have over the last 20 years assumed roles that from which they had previously been excluded,
except for during World War II.
Into most cultures, the military has been probably the slowest to integrate them fully into all aspects of its operation or its culture.
Do they take a patronizing attitude toward the women who are in the military? Is it, we're going to be an equal opportunity employer. We'll pat you on the head, and here you go. Or are they actually fully, are women actually fully integrated into, to the extent that it's possible, into the United States Army?
They're not fully integrated. Women cannot go on submarines. Women, there's still a combat exclusion against women. And although certainly what we've seen with the 60-plus thousand women in this current campaign is that they certainly do, as in all wars, women do come in harm's way. And they do see situations that, when you're shot at, they look an awful lot like combat situations.
Are there 60,000 women in Iraq? Is that what you just said?
They have been deployed to not just Iraq, but the current war.
Now, why would it be important for women to be fully integrated into the military?
Well, it's important because women want to, many women who, not all, but many women who go into the military, the higher up the ranks, the more this is true, want to give as much as they can in the service of their country. And
do you think then that the, do you think then that a draft should include women as well as men?
If we have them?
Yeah.
I think that legally it would be really hard to institute a draft and say, well, you know, one gender we're just going to exclude from compulsive service.
Yeah. Okay, great. Carol Burke, the author of Camp All American, Hanoi Jane, and The High and Tight. Thank you very much for being with us, Carol.
Sure, my pleasure.
Thanks for joining us today. It's our Everything You Know Is Wrong segment.
That you're wrong, but you fear you're right. You suspect you're out of sync. You think that you're out of your mind.
Everything you know is wrong?
Apparently not. A few little hints and tips here. Let's see here. First of all, folic acid. Folic acid, you say? What's folic acid? Folic acid is one of the B vitamins. It's the stuff that makes green things green. Well, actually, that's chlorophyll. But anything, the darker green something is, the more folic acid it has in it. It's folate and other B vitamins. This, in today's paper, folate and other B vitamins seem even more of a wonder drug than anyone suspected. Don't for, you know, eat your salad every single day. If you got a juicer, start juicing spinach here. Already known to prevent severe birth defects and heart attacks, they may also ward off broken bones from osteoporosis. Two major studies were just completed that found this. B vitamins are also known to reduce levels of homocysteine, which is an amino acid already linked to increase in heart attacks, strokes, and Alzheimer's disease. So if you don't want to get any of those things, be sure that every single day you're getting a good solid dose of folic acid. You don't get folic acid from cooked things. You get it only from raw, fresh greens and some vitamins. Now research shows high levels of homocysteine at least double the risk of osteoporosis fractures. And, of course, homocysteine is reduced by folic acid, and therefore that's the mechanism by which it works. Is John Kerry sexy enough to be president of the United States? Andy Borowitz has a take on this. BorowitzReport.com. Kerry, actually, it was Al Gore who had the take on it, according to Borowitz. Former Democratic presidential nominee Al Gore raised a warning flag about the candidacy of John Kerry today, telling reporters that the Massachusetts senator, quote, is not sexy enough to be president, end quote. Speaking to reporters in Washington, Mr. Gore said, quote, there are only three things that you need to get elected president, sex, sex, and sex. And John Kerry, I believe, lacks all three. Attempting to place his remarks in a historical context, the former Democratic standard bearer continued, quote, to be successful in a run for the White House, you need to have raw, almost animalistic sexual power. JFK had it. I have it. I'm not sure that John Kerry has it. On the campaign trail in Michigan, Mr. Kerry departed from his prepared remarks about health care to go toe-to-toe with Mr. Gore on the sexiness issue. My friends, let me say this, he said. I am too sexy for my shirt, Mr. Kerry said before enumerating a long list of other things for which he was too sexy, including his car, his cat, his hat, Milan, New York, and Japan. Senator Kerry's spirited defense of what he termed his sizzling sexual allure was welcomed by many Democratic insiders who have been concerned by the tepid nature of his recent campaign ads. In one of those ads, Mr. Kerry appears at the beginning and says, I'm John Kerry, and I may or may not approve of this message. Elsewhere, doctors who performed a routine physical exam on Vice President Dick Cheney said they detected no signs of a heart. BorowitzReport.com, our news for the day. Hey, I got it in the mail today. This is so cool. Back 15 years ago or so, I bought one share of Marriott stock because if you were a Marriott stockholder, you got a 10% discount on their hotels. And at that time, I was traveling a lot on business. And so, you know, hey, one share, it cost me, I think, $18 at the time. And I just said to Marriott, I'm going to hold this and, you know, any dividends, reinvest them. Well, I just got the quarterly statement. And my one share has now become 2.105 shares at a price per share of $47.16. So I now have a $99.41 investment, first of all. But here's what's really interesting. They sent me 15 cents. Actually, it was 16 cents minus a 1 cent fee. So, you know, net amount, 15 cents. And that 15 cents, you know, four times a year, of course, I only have two shares of Marriott stock, but that 15 cents, Being now a member of the investor class, like George W. Bush with his trust fund, and Dick Cheney with his trust fund, and John Snow with his trust funds, and Colin Powell and Michael Powell and John Snow and Condi Rice, being a member of the investor class and being able to live off my 15-cent dividend check here, I don't have to pay any payroll taxes on this thing. And the maximum income tax I'll have to pay is only 15%. Isn't that exciting? I'm sure you're just thrilled for me here. Now, you know, going from the point of it is this right? I don't think so. I don't think it's right that people who sit around, you know, they say, oh, it's double taxation. Okay, I take money of, you know, that I've earned, that I paid taxes on from work I did, and I invest it in a business. In a small business, you know, start a machine shop or whatever, you know, sharpen chainsaw blades for people. There's actually a bunch of little businesses like that around here in Vermont. That's an investment. Why is it that when you get money from that, you have to pay taxes on it? But if you instead take that money and you buy Marriott stock with it, when that money comes, you don't have to pay taxes on it. Well, on the face of it, it makes no sense. But if you understand the conservative philosophy that those in the investor class, those who are multimillionaires and billionaires should exist at a rarefied and different level of taxation than the average peon in their, you know, the rabble, as John Adams called them, who actually have to work for a living. Then it makes perfect sense. And you understand why George Bush pushed so hard to get that only 15% maximum tax rate for people who live off dividend income built into the last tax bill. And now it's law here in the United States. And that's just the way it is. It's just the way it is right now. And that, by the way, was what John Kennedy reversed back in 1962. He said, hey, this is wrong. This is absolutely wrong. If people want to live, and he was one of the people who lived on dividend income, by the way. You know, he had the Kennedy fortune and he had a trust fund. He said, this is wrong. Why should I pay a lower tax rate than a guy who's working, you know, who's working at the university as a teacher or a janitor? Why should I pay a lower tax rate? There is no good reason. Unless you happen to be one of the cons. And then the answer is, because they're rich and they get to make the rules. That's the bottom line. You want class warfare? It was declared by the conservatives in the United States 20 years ago.
Are you frustrated by your constant inability to lose weight? Are you looking for a natural, clinically proven weight loss breakthrough? Introducing CarboBlocker. Unlike anything else on the market, CarboBlocker is backed by clinical research that proves it effectively helps block the fattening effects of carbs without stimulants. Your body will think you're eating a low-carb diet even when you're not. The results are simply amazing. If you want to maintain the weight loss effects of low-carb dieting for the long run, if you're tired of clothes that are too tight and you want to look fit and sexy, then CarboBlocker is for you. It's clinically effective. Formula is safe, natural, and stimulant-free. And as a special introductory offer, when you order two bottles of Carbo Blocker, you'll get two bottles of Appetite Blocker absolutely free. Call in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also receive two free books, Lose Fat Now and the Low Carb Cookbook, a $100 value. Absolutely free, so call now, 1-800-743-5704. Guaranteed to work or your money back, so call now, 1-800-743-5704. That's 1-800-743-5704.
It is one of the most powerful books you'll ever read, full of the wisdom of ancient cultures and the directed hope of modern thinkers. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman. Discover how we're made of sunlight and what this has to do with the impact of fossil fuels on civilization. Read about the coming new ice age and what must be done soon. Understand how ancient cultures valued community and cooperation and what we can learn from them. Get in touch with the secret of enough, the meaning of wealth, and the wealth of security. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight helps us understand and heal our relationship to the world, to each other, and to our natural resources. We have much to learn and even more to remember. Here is your guide, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
Are you or a loved one making too many trips to the bathroom? Listen closely because you're not alone. Over 30 million men suffer from an enlarged prostate. That's why if you make frequent trips to the bathroom, have urgency, hesitancy, or a diminished sex drive, then Super Prostate Formula is for you. It was designed by nationally recognized physician Dr. Michael Toplitzky. The results with his patients have been amazing. Reclaim control now and join the thousands of satisfied customers who have had incredible results with Super Prostate Formula. When you order 2 bottles of Dr. Toplitzky's Super Prostate Formula, you'll also get 2 bottles of his Super Libido Formula, an all-natural alternative to Viagra to enhance sexual vitality and performance, plus his book, Complete Guide to Prostate Health, and his newsletter, a total $100 value free as your gift. Guaranteed or your money back. If you're not completely satisfied, return it for a full refund and keep his Libido Formula book and newsletter free as your gift. Not available in stores. Call now, 800-452-0978. 800-452-0978. That's 800-452-0978.
Scientists are trying to understand the ups and downs of a potent greenhouse gas. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Scientists constantly monitor the atmosphere to keep track of gases that contribute to global warming. They had some good news to announce last fall about one of them. They said methane levels had not gone up for 4 years. That seemed like good news at the time, but it turns out the story is much more complicated. Ed Dubokensky is a chemist at a climate lab in Boulder, Colorado, that's run by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Dubokensky says some methane occurs naturally. For example, it bubbles out of wetlands as dead plants decompose in the soggy soil. But for more than 100 years, farming and industry have generated much more of this greenhouse gas than any natural source. Dubokensky says the year-by-year increase in methane levels slowed down during the 1980s and 90s. In 1999, methane levels didn't go up at all, stable for 4 years in a row. Some people said that showed we were bringing at least one greenhouse gas under control. Dubokensky says it's hard to look at the statistics and say exactly what was behind the brief period of stability, but whatever the reason, it appears to be over, and methane levels are going up once more.
Looking at our preliminary 2003 data, we see an increase again. So this stabilization isn't sort of a permanent stabilization. It was just a combination of factors that persisted over that four-year period that made methane look like it was perhaps stabilizing. But in 2003, we actually see a pretty significant increase.
Dubokensky's research on methane was published last year in the journal Geophysical Research Letters. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
Photographer's smile, take a break for a while, take a risk, do your very best, take 500.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. And you wonder why it is that George Bush was able to get through legislation, get legislation passed through Congress that said that the investor class pays a different tax rate than the working class. Well, here you go. CBSNews.com, an article by David Paul Kuhn. The most expensive presidential election in U.S. history, approaching a total cost of $1 billion, is being bankrolled largely by private sources. And you and I know that the vast majority of those private sources are represented by, representing, or made up of people who make their living sitting around on their butts waiting for their dividend checks to come, or who have such high payrolls that their heirs will do same. CBS says this could render the public financing system all but impotent. When President Bush ran for the White House in 2002, he became the first candidate not to accept public financing for the primary race. When Al Gore spent the Gore said, "No, I'm going to take the money, the public financing money, because that's the healthy thing to do. That's what's right for democracy." We really need to have public financing of elections in the United States. And so Bush took all this special interest money, and he could take as much as he wanted and spend as much as he wanted, as long as he didn't take any public money. And Gore said, well, I'll take the public funds. And so for all of the spring and summer of 2000, this time right now, he was silent. He couldn't say a word. And Bush was out there spending money, attacking him, making fun of him, the RNC issuing press releases, lying, saying that he said that he had invented the Internet when he never said any such thing. You know, blah-de-blah-de-blah. That allowed Mr. Bush to define himself through advertising, notes CBS, and surmount the bully pulpit advantage held by Gore, at least to some extent. The former lead attorney for the Federal Election Commission says, this system is outdated. It was designed over 25 years ago. Spending limits are too low, $47 million. I think we need to go way beyond this. We need to require public debates in the media, and we need to require our media, which are licensed, to offer them for free. We need spending caps in political campaigns of a couple $100,000 a campaign like they do in England. We need to block special interest ads. And we have to have full public funding in the United States. Then we'll have democracy back. Three states have already done this, and now you've got a revival of democracy in them. Let's bring it to the entire United States. It's possible, but it's going to start with you and me getting involved. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program. You're listening to the True People's Radio.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
A partial settlement in the class action lawsuit against Enron filed by former employees who lost big when the company tanked in 2001. The company will turn over proceeds from various insurance policies valued at about $85 million to a fund set up to recoup workers whose pensions were heavily invested in Enron stock. Of the settlement, $68 million will go to the workers and the lawyers get the rest. Several other class action claims against the company and its executives are still pending.
Like the pickets Boston police unionists might set up around the Democratic National Convention, New York union members may be picketing outside the Republican National Convention this summer. RNC leaders tapped CNN to be the pool network supplying audio and video feeds to all other news organizations. International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, electricians, usually set up inside Madison Square Garden, but CNN wants to use non-union labor to install the hundreds of miles of cables needed to wire this international event. For almost 20 years, CNN used unionized workers in Washington, D.C. and New York City, represented by the National Association of Broadcast Employees and Technicians, or NABIT. But recently, CNN stopped using contractors and hired its own staff with lower wages and benefits. Ed McEwen is the president of NABIT Local 11, representing 1,600 broadcast engineers.
At CNN, they eliminated the union, and that's really a violation of these people's rights.
NABIT is asking politicians not to appear on CNN until the dispute is resolved.
For several years, major clothing companies have adopted codes of conduct for the textile factories that make their apparel, but the codes have never been effectively enforced, much less examined for compliance. But on Wednesday, the Gap Incorporated released a report ranking its contractors' compliance with its own labor code and found that, quote, few factories, if any, are in full compliance all the time. The most egregious violations included physical abuse and squalid working conditions, especially at Gap-contracted sweatshops in China and India. Yet of the more than 3,000 contractors the clothier uses to make its line, the Gap cut ties to only 136 last year for labor rights reasons.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Although there's been a slight increase in jobs this year, the U.S. economy may be suffering from a wage recession. According to new U.S. Department of Commerce figures, corporate profits have swelled totally out of proportion to workers' wages. U.S. corporate profits grew by 87% from 2001 to the end of 2003. Wages and salaries increased by only 4.5%, and after inflation is taken into account, that number shrinks to 1.1%.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find AMIBA online at amiba.net.
As Ray Charles sang, them that's got is them that gets. And the getting was very, very good for those at the top in 2003. Forbes magazine's annual survey of wealth reports that there are now 587 lucky souls living in Billionaireville, up 10% over the previous count. These wealthiest of the wealthy added $500 billion to their personal stash of lucre last year. Among this group of swells are the Waltons, the reigning heirs of Walmart founder Sam Walton. Interestingly, the company that profits by paying poverty wages to its employees returns a king's ransom to those at the top. Forbes reports that of the 10 richest people on the planet, 5 are Waltons, each one sitting atop $20 billion in Walmart booty. Then there are the CEOs who lavish corporate cash on themselves. These dandies now average nearly $11 million in annual pay, even as they downsize their workforce, cut health care and pensions for the people who do the work, and ship our country's best-paying jobs off to foreign shores. Numero uno in corporate pay last year was Sandy Wheel, head of Citigroup. He only worked 9 months of the year before retiring in October, but he pocketed $30 million in salary. Wow, that's $111,000 a day. And that doesn't count the $14.7 million he took in other compensation, or some $285 million worth of stock he had been awarded. Well, say apologists for this system of royal pay, such is the way the free market works. Horse feathers. The supply of potential CEOs is huge, and the number of slots is very small. So if the free market really was at work, CEOs would be making an honest wage. But the system isn't honest. The pay of top bosses is set by board members handpicked by you-know-who, the top bosses. This is Jim Hightower saying, money flows uphill not because of merit, but because the system is rigged by those at the top.
Toyota owners, roll into summer with great tire service offers at your participating Toyota dealer. And keep rolling all year long with free gas from Toyota. That's right, Toyota is giving away free gas for a year to 12 lucky winners. Just come into your participating Toyota dealer, where you get the very best competitively priced service performed by Toyota trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and enter the sweepstakes.
No purchase necessary. Ends May 31st, 2004. Void where prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 year old with valid driver's license only. Void in Hawaii. Official rules at Toyota.com/owners.
It's difficult enough to work your way through this jungle called life every day without having to carry an 800-pound gorilla of high-interest student loans around with you. So just do what over 300,000 people have already done and call College Loan Corporation at 1-800-2-COLLEGE. College Loan Corporation will gladly give you the advice you need while helping you look into interest rates as low as 2.63%, the lowest federal rates in 40 years. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
This is just mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling. Instead of deploying the Labor Department, by the way, Tom Hartman back with you here. Thanks for being with us. Instead of deploying the Labor Department to investigate Walmart's harsh treatment of workers, Vice President Cheney last week visited Walmart headquarters and portrayed the company, quote, as an example of the Bush administration's success. I'm telling you, the agenda of these guys is to destroy the middle class in America. The middle class represents a threat to the conservative agenda because the middle class votes, the middle class participates, the middle class can be well educated, the middle class can figure out what these bums are up to, the middle class isn't so desperate, you know, withholding three different jobs, each one of them at a minimum wage, so that they can't put their kids through college, they can't make it through, they don't have the time to vote, they can't even get time off from work. The conservative agenda destroy the middle class. Instead of deploying the Labor Department to investigate Walmart, Vice President Cheney last week visited Walmart headquarters and portrayed the company, quote, as an example of the Bush administration's success. Cheney and his wife Lynn marveled at the efficiency, that's a quote, of the company and rubbed elbows with CEO Lee Scott, a major campaign contributor to Bush and conservative allies. Scott claimed, quote, Walmart's respect for its humble beginnings has kept its massive corporate structure in touch with employees. But neither Cheney nor Scott mentioned the fact that Walmart pays workers wages that often fall below the poverty line, keeps roughly one-third of its entire workforce on a part-time schedule to restrict access to health benefits, mentioned nothing of the various lawsuits Walmart faces for worker abuse, nothing about Walmart's use of undocumented workers, and nothing about the company's controversial practice of locking workers in stores at night and not providing them with work breaks. The silence may have been brought by Walmart's recent decision to ratchet up political contributions, quote, primarily to Republicans, end quote. It is becoming so filthy, so obscene. The absolute sellout of the DeLay, Bush, Hastert, Frist, and 90% of the rest of them faction of the Republican Party to the new feudal lords of America, whose mission is to destroy the middle class and create a nation of terrified workers, destroy the ability of workers to unionize, withhold health care services from us, create monopolies. Oh, you want a telephone in your home? You have freedom of choice. You can choose us or not. You want a store to shop at? Well, you have freedom of choice. You can shop at Walmart or not. Everybody else has been put out of business, sucker. And Dick and Lynn Cheney, they're going, this is a success of the Bush administration. Yes, indeed, folks, a real success. They just know. You must know. This is what these guys consider success. You want to know the conservative definition of success. It is a corporation that destroys every competitor in its path. Forget about free enterprise and competition. This is about creating oligarchies and oligopies. This is about monopoly. This is about trusts in the old definition. Today we call them monopolies. It's got nothing to do with traditional ideas of free and fair, free enterprise, the entrepreneurial spirit, competition, the ideals and values that made this country great and that make it possible for people to still start small businesses in America and grow them to the point where they and their families can make a living from them. Not only does it have nothing to do with that, it's antithetical to it. It hates it. It sees all of those of us who are, you know, small business people as, you know, like George W. Bush, when he was a kid, he used to put firecrackers in frogs and watch them blow up and laugh about it. It's the same thing. Here we are. We're the frogs of the world. And then on top of that, we've got an administration that is promulgating a foreign policy. I mean, this is their domestic policy. Their domestic policy is we don't need no stinking workers. We don't need no stinking civil rights. You know, we'll throw you in Guantanamo if we don't like you. We will wiretap your home without a warrant. We can do sneaking peeks and don't have to tell you. I'm telling you, the fascists are here. And around the world, the rest of the world is looking at this and going, what happened to the America that we thought held high ideals? Yeah, of course, they didn't always live up to them, but they at least tried. I mean, there were actually people in Congress who believed in these things. And what has happened? Well, you could get very technical and you could point to the 1987... or was it 78? I always mix those years up. Boston versus Bilotti Supreme Court decision where corporations were, you know, where the Supreme Court said money is free speech and corporations have free speech rights. Or the 1936 JCPenney versus the state of Florida where the Supreme Court ruled that under the 14th Amendment passed to free the slaves that guarantees equal protection under the law to all persons. If a huge out-of-state multinational corporation like Walmart wants to come into the community and put out of business a small local business owner, the state can't interject itself. It cannot discriminate against Walmart on behalf of a local business. You could point to the 1980s decision where Walmart, where Dow Chemical claimed the Fourth Amendment right of privacy. Although when employees go on the premises of corporations these days, they have no right of privacy. It's private property, after all, and you voluntarily surrender your Fourth Amendment right of privacy. They can monitor your bodily fluids. They can fire you for things you say that have nothing to do with your job, for political speech. They can monitor the keystrokes of your computer. They can listen into your telephone calls. Without telling you, they can have a video camera on you anywhere except in the bathroom. And who knows, maybe that's next. In fact, I'll bet that there are corporations in America where they do have video cameras in the bathroom for when people go in to do the urinalysis tests. That just isn't right. I'm going to be telling you some good news tomorrow about something that just came out of California. I'll just leave it at that. I want to get into it in one of the first hours of the program. But some very good news on this front. A good start. Step by step, a good start. But in the meantime, this same administration that is bringing us the destruction of human rights and the elevation of corporate rights, keeping in mind the founders never gave corporations rights. The word corporation does not exist in the United States Constitution anywhere. In fact, federal corporations cannot be formed except by an act of Congress. When a corporation is incorporated, it's at a state level, always. Anyhow, these same folks have brought us walking away from the Kyoto Treaty, walking away from the ABM Treaty, 10,000 dead civilians in Afghanistan, blew it. They blew it trying to get Osama bin Laden. Here you got a guy, he's 6'4", he's on a dialysis machine running around on a camel. And he's still thumbing his nose at us. But there are some who think that Bush would just as soon he was still free. Because as long as bin Laden is out there, Bush can say, we still have an enemy, you still need me as the fearless leader. I don't know. Maybe. I mean, you can spin a conspiracy theory in the opposite direction, too, that we are going to catch him just before the election. It'll be the October surprise. Maybe he's already in custody somewhere in Pakistan. Anyhow, the result the result of our going into Afghanistan, killing 10 to 20,000 innocent civilians to liberate them from the Taliban. Yeah, we took out the camps. We could have done that a whole lot easier in a much smaller fashion. We took out the camps. Now we've got a country that is producing the largest opium crop in the history of the world. We have a heroin epidemic all over the world. Heroin has never been cheaper. Never been cheaper. Because of the Afghan opium poppy crop, about which we are doing nothing. Because we can't afford to pay the opium farmers a subsidy like we do Archer's Daniel Midland to grow something other than opium. No, we can't afford that. I'm sorry. We've got to use that money, which we have borrowed from our children and our grandchildren. We've got to use that money to lock up Iraq so that our oil companies can have 100% suck on the straw of their oil, and that our multinational corporations can come in and buy up all of their businesses, privatize them, bring in cheap labor or export them, as they are doing in the United States, throw out of work millions of Iraqis, which they've already done. And these cons wonder why nationalism is raising its ugly head in Iraq. It's like they're baffled. Well, I can't figure this out, you know. What's going on here? And now in the midst of this, we find that all around the world, people are looking at what's going on in Iraq, and they're saying, you know, we used to think it was kind of cool to buy Levi's or Coca-Cola, to eat at McDonald's. I remember being in Frankfurt, Germany, when the McDonald's that had opened across the street from the train station at the, it's called the Zoological Garden or something like that, train station, across from the Frankfurt Zoo. They'd opened a new McDonald's. Interesting, they served beer and wine. Of course, it's Germany, you know. But everybody wanted to go there. It was the hot new thing. Hey, McDonald's, it's an American thing, it's cool. Let's go check it out. Let's go have a Big Mac, those things we've seen on TV. Let's be like the Americans. They're our heroes. Well, I have a report here from The Guardian that bodes ill for the United States, both on a business level and ultimately, in my opinion, right across the board on a cultural level. I'll share it with you right after this. This is the Tom Hartman radio program. Tom Hartman here with you. The pill that will help you escape the matrix of the right-wing lies.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
In the foreword to Tom Hartman's book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late, renowned author Joseph Chilton Pierce writes,
"To discover brilliant, innovative, creative, and original thinking is one of life's rare privileges. To discover that such a thinker has focused on the most critical of all issues facing our species is encouraging. Because The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight is a seminal work offering a viewpoint original yet ancient, I see our situation today in a new light. And because of the scope and depth of this work, I find it inspiring as well as disturbing. I rather exhausted superlative in praise of Tom Hartman's book, The Prophet's Way, which I rightly called the most important book I've ever read. But now I find this sequel calling for equal praise.
since the issue here addresses the whole of our species, and indeed all species.
The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
Have you visited 100fires.com lately? If not, then you're missing out on thousands of books for a better world. Books about how you can make a difference, about the rights of workers, creating more livable communities, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Has George W. Bush delivered on his 2000 campaign pledge to run the government more like a business? New reports from the Bureau of Labor Statistics and Office of Personnel Management show that the federal workforce grew by a net 70,000 since Bush took office. And these numbers don't even count contractors who now compete for federal work. Of the 12 million people who work in some capacity for the federal government, less than 2 million are actually employed by government agencies.
Setting up a radio station? Wondering what software to use? Listen to the words of Mike Chandler of WOBS in Florida talking about the TuneTracker system.
I love the software. I mean, it is rock solid. It has not burped one single time. This thing has not stopped. And I tell you, I've got some software that I run at two of my other radio stations that cost tons and tons more. One I paid, I think, $1,500 for it. And then one system, which was the Arrakis DigiLink system, I paid $15,000 for it. But this rivals my $15,000 system.
As Mike Chandler said, the TuneTracker system is rock solid. And the price? Only $349.95 for the pro version with traffic interface and only $149.95 for the original TuneTracker 2. Either way, you'll have a radio automation system that performs like systems costing thousands more. For more information, go to our website, www.tunetrackersystems.com. www.tunetrackersystems.com.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
Hey, where did we go? Days when the rains came.
And welcome back. 866-889-8894, our telephone number.
Skipping and jumping.
Oh, yeah.
In the misty morning fog with... Oh,
I could listen to Van Morrison all day. 25 minutes after the hour.
A brown-eyed girl.
And that's definitely an oldie and goodie. Hey, back in 19... It must have been 69... I did an all-night progressive rock show on WVIC AM and FM in Lansing, Michigan. It was like 11 a.m. to 7 a.m. or something like that. And I had Van Morrison. I forget the name of the song now. I would recognize it. Anyhow, it was the theme song. Time passes. Anyhow, here's what happened. Consumers sent warning sign to U.S. brands. Declining respect. This is from an article by Patrick Barrett in The Guardian. Declining respect. Now, this in and of itself is a small flag, but in my mind, this is really a big deal because it reflects how George W. Bush has caused the entire world to turn against us. In the 3.5 years that he has held power in this United States than any other president in the history of the United States. And it's going to take us an entire generation to recover from, at least a generation, at least 20 years to recover from it. Because what you find is that when people are between the ages of 8 or 10 and 20 years old, they are forming opinions which they will hold for their whole entire lives. Fascinating study done about 35 years ago, they found that when you ask people what their political opinions were when they were 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, at the age of adolescence, and then you track them down or actually you'd ask them and then ask them retrospectively. You track them now when they're 40, 50, 60, their political opinions have not changed. Only in a very small percentage of cases, 2, 3, 4, 5%. Opinions are fixed in adolescence with regard to worldview, and that's it. It gets burned in. And this is what we're doing all around the world. Almost half of the world's population is under 25 years old right now. Declining respect for American cultural values exacerbated by the crisis in Iraq. And I would say not to mention Abu Ghraib and the Guantanamo Bay and is having potentially disastrous effect on the image of U.S. brands such as Coca-Cola, McDonald's, Nike, and Microsoft. A new worldwide study of consumer attitudes had found the number of people who like and use U.S. branded products has fallen significantly over the past year, while brands perceived to be non-American have remained relatively stable. According to the NOP World, which carried out the survey, a mixture of America's controversial involvement in Iraq, its handling of the so-called war against terrorism, corporate scandals such as WorldCom, and its failure to sign up to the Kyoto Environmental Agreement have all had a profoundly negative effect on the perception of U.S. culture and its major brands. Tom Miller, the managing director of NOP World, says it's not like there's a massive boycott. Instead, it seems to be an erosion of support. An erosion of support. It's not falling off the face of the earth, but it's clearly a warning sign for brands. Up until 2002, before we invaded Iraq, NOP found that such brands as McDonald's and Coca-Cola were actually notching up healthy annual growth profits. Now, however, they've discovered that the growth and popularity of all major consumer brands, American consumer brands, has stalled. Over the last 12 months, the positive trend has gone into reverse with U.S. products hardest hit. It also found the decline in interest and respect for U.S. products was reflected in consumers' view of American cultural values. The percentage of consumers that believed honesty was an important attribute of American culture was found to have fallen below 50% in France, Italy, Germany, Spain, and Turkey, below 31% in Germany, and just 23% of Saudi Arabians think that honesty is an American value. Welcome to George Bush's world. We have to change this, my friends. 29 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman with you.
A must-read, The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. Ed Hallowell, a nationally recognized expert on ADD, said this about The Edison Gene.
Tom Hartman demonstrates that ADHD can be associated with creativity, high achievement, and a most successful adaptive style.
The Edison Gene, now available in bookstores everywhere.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
A partial settlement in the class action lawsuit against Enron filed by former employees who lost big when the company tanked in 2001. The company will turn over proceeds from various insurance policies valued at about $85 million to a fund set up to recoup workers whose pensions were heavily invested in Enron stock. Of the settlement, $68 million will go to the workers and the lawyers get the rest. Several other class action claims against the company and its executives are still pending.
Like the pickets, Boston police unionists might set up around the Democratic National Convention, New York union members may be picketing outside the Republican National Convention this summer. RNC leaders tapped CNN to be the pool network supplying audio and video feeds to all other news organizations. International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, electricians, usually set up inside Madison Square Garden, but CNN wants to use non-union labor to install the hundreds of miles of cables needed to wire this international event. For almost 20 years, CNN used unionized workers in Washington, D.C. and New York City, represented by the National Association of Broadcast Employees and Technicians, or NABIT. But recently, CNN stopped using contractors and hired its own staff with lower wages and benefits. Ed McEwen is the president of NABIT Local 11, representing 1,600 broadcast engineers.
At CNN, they eliminated the union, and that's really a violation of these people's rights.
NABIT is asking politicians not to appear on CNN until the dispute is resolved.
For several years, major clothing companies have adopted codes of conduct for the textile factories that make their apparel, but the codes have never been effectively enforced, much less examined for compliance. But on Wednesday, the Gap Incorporated released a report ranking its contractors' compliance with its own labor code and found that, quote, few factories, if any, are in full compliance all the time. The most egregious violations included physical abuse and squalid working conditions, especially at Gap-contracted sweatshops in China and India. Yet of the more than 3,000 contractors the clothier uses to make its line, the Gap cut ties to only 136 last year for labor rights reasons.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Although there's been a slight increase in jobs this year, the U.S. economy may be suffering from a wage recession. According to new U.S. Department of Commerce figures, corporate profits have swelled totally out of proportion to workers' wages. U.S. corporate profits grew by 87% from 2001 to the end of 2003. Wages and salaries increased by only 4.5%, and after inflation is taken into account, that number shrinks to 1.1%.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
His name was Medgar Evers, and he walked his road alone, like Emmett Till and thousands more whose names we'll never know. They tried to burn his home, and they beat him to the ground, but deep inside they both knew what it took to bring him down. Too many martyrs and too many dead, too many lies, too many empty words were said. Too many times for too many angry men.
It's like what goes around comes around, huh?
Let it never be again.
Let it never be again. And that song has got to be 20 years old. It's, it is going to be again. It is right now. It's a tragedy. It's absolutely a tragedy. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number, if you would like to opine on this. Did you see where Don Rumsfeld this morning in Iraq? He made a surprise visit to Iraq. This guy is freaking out. I mean, this thing is spun out of control. He knows that he blew it. He knows that the world news that knows that he blew it. And he's desperately trying to salvage both the Iraq operation and his own reputation, which, in my opinion, is permanently tarnished. Him and Wolfowitz and Pearl and Feith and Cheney and Bush, the whole bunch of them, who said, well, we can do war on a cheap, you know, these are just dumb Arabs, doesn't matter. I mean, that was the xenophobia, the unwillingness to understand how other cultures work, the unwillingness to view other people as fully human beings, is shocking, just absolutely shocking. So anyhow, this morning, Rumstud, we should use the nickname that George W. gave him. Rumstud is in Iraq this morning, and he was asked, could the U.S. mission in Iraq fail? And here's an exact quote. Is it possible it won't work? Yes. Is it possible it won't work? Yes. Sounds to me like getting the Americans ready for the withdrawal from Saigon scenario. You know, the only thing that's missing here is the October rollout, a la Henry Kissinger, of the secret plan to end the war. Can't tell you what the plan is. It's a secret. Well, there's a Pennsylvania family that's a little more than concerned about this. And there are a lot of folks who are suggesting that maybe it wasn't just the Arab bad guys who killed this kid. Where'd he get that red jumpsuit like they use in Guantanamo? Or did the Iraqi police or the Americans, according to Nick Berg, dress him in that thing before they let him go, basically kicked him out and said, good luck, you're on your own? And it's like painting a bullseye on his back, right? Was he wearing that thing when they got him, when they captured him? Or did they just happen to bring it there from Guantanamo by themselves? Who were these guys? These guys with very white hands, these kind of overweight guys. Well, at least they spoke good Arabic, so I'm, you know, the, or at least one of them did, the one reading the dictates. But Michael Berg, the father of Nick Berg, has lashed out at the U.S. military and the Bush administration, saying his son might still be alive if he had not been detained in Iraq without being charged and without access to a lawyer. He is saying, and I absolutely agree, that our unwillingness to acknowledge human rights and our unwillingness to acknowledge the provisions of our own Constitution of the United States led directly to his son's death. That and the fact that one of these right-wing websites put his father's name on it as an enemy of the state a couple of weeks ago. I'll tell you more about that tomorrow. I just want to drop that in there. But so there's some folks who even say, well, yeah, it was the CIA who executed him. Well, let's assume that it actually was Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. General Ricardo, Lieutenant General Ricardo, told reporters today, it appears Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, an associate of Osama bin Laden, believed to be behind a wave of suicide bombings in Iraq, was responsible for killing Nicholas Berg. According to NBC, this is from the Center for American Progress, according to NBC, the Bush administration, quote, had several chances to wipe out Zarqawi's operation and perhaps kill Zarqawi himself, but never pulled the trigger before the war. Now, this is the same administration that's blaming Bill Clinton for not successfully killing Osama bin Laden, even though, Lord knows, he tried. 60 cruise missiles ought to have done it. We hadn't accounted for the treachery of the Pakistani Secret Service, alerting him to the incoming cruise missiles. But anyhow, here we've got Zarqawi. Bush could have gotten him on several occasions. Why didn't he? Well, turns out he didn't get Zarqawi or bin Laden because he had a war in Iraq to plan. He had to get all that oil. You know, 10% of the world's oil, it's very significant, as our fearless leader likes to
remember. Iraq sits on top of 10% of the world's oil reserves. Very significant reserve, second only to Saudi Arabia.
Yep, that's the guy. Yesterday they went in and had to check and see if he still had a heart.
Iraq sits on top of 10% of the world's oil reserves. Very significant reserve, second only to Saudi Arabia.
And this was something that Vice President Cheney said, Vice Resident Cheney said, before the war. I mean, it's called talking to your base. Hey, ExxonMobil, are you listening? Be sure, hey, the campaign checks, send them to 1600 Pennsylvania. No, send them to former Enron lobbyist Ed Gillespie, the head of the RNC. He'll take your checks. Well, here's what former National Security Council member Roger Cressy had to say. Now, the National Security Council, these are the guys who advise the president, right? Roger Cressy, former member of the National Security Council. How come Zarqawi is still running around loose, pulling off murders like this killing of Nick Berg? How come? Well, he says, and I quote, people were more obsessed with developing the coalition to overthrow Saddam than to execute the president's policy of preemption against terrorists. Well, that's very diplomatic. Very diplomatic. In the meantime, the local newspaper in Ocala, Florida, yesterday, day before yesterday, May 11th, reported the Ocala-based U.S. Army Reserve unit helping to pacify Iraq. Oh, now we're pacifying them. Anyhow, has made an urgent request from the folks back home. Send body armor ASAP. First Sergeant Fred Chisholm, a top enlisted soldier in the 351st Military Police Company, recently asked Sheriff Ed Dean. This is the Ocala, Florida Sheriff Ed Dean, to round up extra bulletproof vests and ship them to the unit. So the Sheriff's Department maybe, they probably don't have a lot of shootings in Ocala. The letter was dated just 3 days after three soldiers from this unit, the 351st, were wounded in an attack. This would the letter from First Sergeant Fred Chisholm to Sheriff Ed Dean says, if you'd send us these things, these bulletproof vests, these Kevlar vests, he says, this would greatly help the survival rate of my troops. Why isn't he sending this letter to Rumsfeld? Why isn't he sending this letter to George W. Bush? Why hasn't Dick Cheney figured this out? What hole is Condoleezza Rice hiding in? Or is she back on the tanker, the Condoleezza Rice, sailing across the Pacific, bringing oil back from the Straits of Hormuz, or through the Straits of Hormuz, or through the Straits of Arabia? Anyhow, Dean, the sheriff, he says this needs to go beyond us. Well, see, there you go. He said, I've got bulletproof vests, but, you know, I'd kind of like to wear them myself, if you don't mind. He says, it needs to go beyond us. He says, I'm sure the military's working on it. Really? But our country has to respond quickly without discussion. Our men and women are in harm's way, and we need to respond, he says. The president of the sheriff, the Florida Sheriff's Association, Martin County Sheriff Robert Crowder, says, it's a shame, isn't it? It's hard to believe that we sent our people to this part of the world and they feel like they're not being taken care of. I'm sorry, Sergeant Crowder, Sheriff Crowder, it's not hard for me to believe these guys have screwed up everything. They went into Afghanistan with half the bombs used in World War II, killed off 10, 20,000 civilians to get Osama bin Laden, and he's still at large. They said that in order to protect American liberty, we had to destroy American liberty. In order to show the world American values, we had to violate those values. In order to get 10% of the world's oil.
Iraq sits on top of 10% of the world's oil reserves. Very significant reserves, second only to Saudi Arabia.
We had to go into Iraq. Keep in mind Dick Cheney's secret energy meeting now before the United States Supreme Court. Do we, the people, have the right to look at the papers of one of our employees doing official business? It's not like Dick Cheney was writing a letter to his wife. No, this is a meeting with the bigwigs of the oil industry. No environmentalists welcome, thank you very much. Nobody from the alternative energy industry welcome, thank you very much. No Democrats welcome, thank you very much. Price of admission. Become a ranger for the Bush campaign. Raise $200,000. Well, I can guarantee you $200,000 is just the beginning. Just the beginning. To be a member of the Cheney Energy Panel. Just the beginning. And now we see, you go to Judicial Watch and Larry Klayman, the guy who sued Bill Clinton over Jennifer Flowers and all that, has sued Dick Cheney. Now he's trying to parlay it into a seat in Congress. I don't recall if he's running for a state congressional office or national, but anyhow, he's running for office. Or he was. Maybe he dropped out in the primaries. I haven't been keeping track of him. But his website, judicialwatch.org, you know, the Judicial Watch organization, because no man is above the law. is their slogan. They sued Cheney, and they what do they get? They get these documents that show that in 2001, you know, following up on the 1998 letter written by the Project for a New American Century, which Dick Cheney signed and Rumsfeld signed and Jeb Bush signed and Wolfowitz signed and Pearl signed and Feith signed, a letter to Bill Clinton saying, you better attack Iraq right away. You better get in there to Iraq. After all,
Iraq sits on top of 10% of the world's oil reserves. Very significant reserve, second only to Saudi Arabia.
You think there's oil in Alaska? There's nothing in Alaska compared to Iraq. Nothing. A six-month supply for the United States. Yeah, it'll take us a few years to use it up. I mean, if we shut down everything else, it would just represent 6 months. That's a lot of oil. That's hundreds of billions of dollars in profit for the oil industry that they would lose if instead of being able to drill in Alaska, where it's relatively pristine oil, virgin oil, which bubbles out of the ground, only costs $1.50 a barrel to pump, and they could sell it for $40 a barrel right now, because most of the world's oil wells are aging, and you got to suck the oil out. It costs $10, $12, $15, in some cases $20, $30 a barrel to suck so hard on that straw because the wells are getting low, because we're coming up on the worldwide Hubbert peak, the halfway point of the planet's oil. We passed it in 1974 in the United States. That's when we had to start importing oil in a big way. That's when we could and should have made the change. And now we have to look outside ourselves and to look at the rest of the world and say, where's the oil?
Iraq sits on top of 10% of the world's oil reserves. Very significant reserve, second only to Saudi Arabia.
It's a shame, isn't it, says Martin County Sheriff Robert Crowder. It's hard to believe we sent our people to this part of the world and they feel like they're not being taken care of. That's troubling. But we support our troops and we'll do whatever we can, he says. And he doesn't say that he's going to send bulletproof vests. Maybe he will. Newsweek magazine writes about this. Despite, here's a quote from Newsweek, despite desperate attempts to supply bolt-on armor, many soldiers still ride around Iraq in light-skinned Humvees. You know, Arnold thinks it's a way cool thing, but the guys in Iraq have a slightly different opinion. Brigadier General Mark P. Hertling, Assistant Division Commander of the 1st Armored Division, conceded in an interview that they were, quote, never designed to do this. It was never anticipated that we would have things like roadside bombs in the vast number that we've had here. No? All you had to do is listen to the largest protest in the history of the world before we went into Iraq, anti-war protesters saying, if you go into that country, well, forget the anti-war protest. All you had to do was listen to Colin Powell, General Strzenzecki, Anthony Zinni. You break it, you own it, and it's going to be a bigger mess, George, than you ever imagined. And now here we are.
Are you frustrated by your constant inability to lose weight? Are you looking for a natural, clinically proven weight loss breakthrough? Introducing CarboBlocker. Unlike anything else on the market, CarboBlocker is backed by clinical research that proves it effectively helps block the fattening effects of carbs without stimulants. Your body will think you're eating a low-carb diet even when you're not. The results are simply amazing. If you want to maintain the weight loss effects of low-carb dieting for the long run, if you're tired of clothes that are too tight and you want to look fit and sexy, then CarboBlocker is for you. It's clinically effective formula is safe, natural, and stimulant-free. And as a special introductory offer, when you order two bottles of Carbo Blocker, you'll get two bottles of Appetite Blocker absolutely free. Call in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also receive two free books, Lose Fat Now and the Low Carb Cookbook, a $100 value, absolutely free. So call now, 1-800-743-5704. Guaranteed to work or your money back, so call now, 1-800-743-5704. That's 1-800-743-5704.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights.
Americans. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Are you or a loved one making too many trips to the bathroom? Listen closely because you're not alone. Over 30 million men suffer from an enlarged prostate. That's why if you make frequent trips to the bathroom, have urgency, hesitancy, or a diminished sex drive, then Super Prostate Formula is for you. It was designed by nationally recognized physician Dr. Michael Toplitsky. The results with his patients have been amazing. Reclaim control now and join the thousands of satisfied customers who have had incredible results with Super Prostate Formula. When you order two bottles of Dr. Toplitsky's Super Prostate Formula, you'll also get two bottles of his Super Libido Formula, an all-natural alternative to Viagra to enhance sexual vitality and performance, plus his book, Complete Guide to Prostate Health, and his newsletter, a total $100 value free as your gift. Guaranteed or your money back. If you're not completely satisfied, return it for a full refund and keep his Libido Formula book and newsletter free as your gift. Not available in stores. Call now. 800-452-0978. 800-452-0978. That's 800-452-0978.
Seabirds in Scotland lose their leftovers and have to make a switch in their diets. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. A lot of seabirds like to follow commercial fishing boats to eat the undersized fish that get dumped overboard. One of those birds is the great skua, a big brown seabird that breeds on islands in the North Sea off the coast of Scotland. But the great skua has fewer easy leftovers these days. That's because fishing restrictions have cut the number of fishing boats on the North Sea. A scientist in Scotland says it looks like the great skua is making up for lost fish by eating other birds. Stephen Vautier is an ecologist at the University of Glasgow, and he's published a paper on great skuas in the journal Nature. Vautier says great skuas have probably always eaten smaller birds to some degree, but he says small birds make up a growing proportion of the skua's diet since the decline in commercial fishing activity. Vautier says the skuas often kill puffins, fomars, and black-legged kittiwakes that also roost in colonies on the Scottish Isles.
They tend to wait for the birds to come back to the colonies. The skuas effectively are hanging around the colonies and looking for either chicks or for adult birds. They might be feeding on seabirds further out to sea. We don't know that because we couldn't very easily observe what was happening out at sea.
Vautier says the fishing restrictions in the North Sea are designed to restore populations of cod and herring.
We need to conserve our fish stocks not only for environmental reasons, but also from an economical point of view, as many people rely on fishing as an industry.
Vautier says rebuilding healthy populations of fish in the North Sea is essential to restoring some stability for commercial fishing and for birds like the great skua that like to eat fish as well. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hold on there. Hold on. Welcome back.
Turn down the bed.
Yeah. Okay, we'll turn down the sound to 4 minutes before the hour. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Pat Leahy, the United States Senator from Vermont. He was the guy who was during that brief year when the Senate was controlled by the Democrats, after Jim Jeffords defected from the Republican Party and became an independent. Jim Jeffords, also from Vermont. Pat Leahy was chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, the committee that had the Patriot Act. And he had to decide whether to let that act out onto the House floor or onto the Senate floor for a vote. He could have held it back. And he got anthrax in the mail. and scared the bejesus out of him, changed everything, knocked him out of his office. He couldn't even get at his papers. And the rest is history. Anyhow, he was grilling Rumstud yesterday. Let's listen. This is fascinating.
I'm sorry that this administration repeatedly, insistently, and unrelentingly justified preemptive war.
Now, this is, see, he's you know, because Bush won't apologize here, Leahy is going to do it for him.
By insisting that Saddam Hussein not only had weapons of mass destruction, but he's hell-bent on using them against us and our allies. And I'm sorry about administration officials led by the vice president repeatedly trying to link Saddam Hussein to 9/11, though there never was any link. None.
And then,
the U.S. capturing, killing, or dissuading more terrorists than were being recruited and trained.
That's a note from Vermont Public Radio describing the question that was just asked. Leahy asks Rumsfeld, as a result of the invasion in Iraq, are we getting more terrorists?
How would you answer that today?
Well, first I'd like to, Senator, answer a few of the other comments you made.
Could we answer that one first?
Yes, full right to answer your question.
I know, but could we answer the question, the specific question I asked? That's the only question I asked. Now answer that and then say all you want to say.
I think it's fair that I'd be allowed to answer your statement.
Well, I asked a question. You don't want to answer my question?
I'd be happy to answer your question.
Please do.
I will.
Rumsfeld then delved into a lengthy response to Leahy's charges, but said he didn't know the answer to the senator's question.
Yeah, didn't know the answer. Well, I can tell you the answer. There are more terrorists now than there were, and any idiot knows it. Thanks to Louise for producing our program today. Thanks to Brad Walrod for our music. Thanks to Shelby for streaming us on RadioPower.org, and Ben for putting us up on White Rose Society. Thanks to our sponsors. Thanks to Jay for writing, composing, and producing our theme music. Thanks to the folks in our chat room for showing up, the best chat room on the internet. And thanks to you for listening. The show wouldn't even be here without you. I appreciate it. Talk to you tomorrow. I'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same place.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. My name is Véronique.